overview of the self group, and then we receive specific presentations of the report of the different self group. Before we start, as honorable members can see in the presentation that has been sent to us, that a substantial number of senior leadership in the self group and its MCs are on acting capacity, which is a matter that must extremely concern us. So they will, in the course of the presentation, explain the situation with regard to those elected positions. And second, there's an issue that has always been raised, around which we must find balance. Not so much with regard to the Department of Energy, but with regard to the state-owned companies. Especially those companies of the state that have got to operate in a competitive environment. That it is required that they should report to DOE, that we should report to Parliament, we should exercise oversight, and that they must bring all the information before the committee to be interrogated. Something that I'm certain that this committee is going to ensure that happens sufficiently. But if there's an issue that does arise from time to time about the position in which you place these entities, those companies that have got to compete, given the environment in which they operate in, that they are required to be subjected to this scrutiny that does not necessarily apply to other companies that compete with them. It's an issue that I'm flagging today for the future, not just an issue that is sure relevant to this committee, but it's an issue that will be relevant to all other committees and relevant to the whole of Parliament with regard to how we handle these matters in the future. Because there is a tension between the fact that we want these companies to be fully transparent and put the position information at their disposal before committees of Parliament, and the fact that they're competing with other companies that may not be required by Parliament to place this information before Parliament. It's an issue that consistently we're going to have to think about as we move forward, about that tension. And honourable members would know that I would be one of those who would not want entities or state-owned companies or even DOE hiding behind certain things in order not to give us sufficient information. But we would have to be sensitive to how we deal with some of the information that may prejudice some of these companies if the position is made public, especially in relation to the competitive environment. I just wanted to raise that as part of my opening, and then give to the self group. They'll explain how they're going to approach their presentation. I don't know who's going to start first. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister, Acting DG, members of the board and chairpersons of the companies within the cell group here present, representatives of the Department of Energy. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning again. My name is Raju Boko. I'm the interim chairperson for CEF. Chairperson Howe would like, with your permission, to deal with the presentation. Is that I will start with providing a high level overview of what we're going to cover, and I will then hand over to the group CEO, who will do most of the presentation at the group level. And at the requisite time, we will then be requesting that we allow the CEOs of the subsidiaries to deal with subsidiary issues at that point. So that's how I would like to deal with it, if that is in order. Chairperson, the objectives for today's session is really to provide this committee with an overview of the CEF Group of Companies' annual performance for the year ended March 2015. And this is against the backdrop of a very challenging global economy, where we've evidenced low commodity prices and, of course, weak growth. Our overview is going to cover both financial and non-financial performance. We'll look at our KPIs and how we've performed against those. We'll also give insight, as we've said, on individual subsidiary performance. We'd also like to give some context into the group's challenges, particularly as they relate to the long-term sustainability, and provide this committee with some feedback on actions that we have taken and progress that we've made so far. We'd also like to look into the group initiatives that seek to redefine ourselves for strategic relevance as an implementing agent of the DOE, and provide insight on the overall future outlook of the group and how we endeavor to deliver on our mandate. The chairperson will also table a high-level overview of the group strategic themes delivered through our group vision 2025. We'd also like to share our group successes and provide some insight on the OneCEF concept, which is really designed to radically change our approach towards business excellence by focusing on key areas to improve the group performance, particularly in the current economic climate. On the screens now, we are looking at the areas that we'll be covering, and with your permission again, Chairperson, we will shift part of the presentations around, but we'll alert the members at that point. The content will remain the same, how we would like to the presentation to flow to provide better insights. And as I said earlier, Chairperson, we've got a few colleagues that will be presenting their respective areas, so as to where required they are able to provide the detail that the committee may require from such perspective. As I look at our strategic intent and purpose, the vision to be a leader in financing, developing and implementation of sustainable energy projects in Africa. Our mission, Chairperson, is to grow the energy sector and to be a catalyst for economic growth and poverty alleviation through security of supply and access to acceptable, affordable energy in the continent. We've outlined our role in the same slide as CEF. But where I'd like to move to, Chairperson, is on what the group activities are as CEF and its subsidiaries. We are reporting on 5 subsidiaries, as well as our clean energy division, which is housed within the holding company. The CED looks after clean and renewable energy area. Petro SA is in the oil and gas space. Strategic Fuel Fund is looking after the strategic stock and pollution control, and PAPA and the promotion, licensing and regulation. We have our mining company, African Exploration, and then we've got in the gas and gas infrastructure space, I guess, which is also here in presence. Chairperson, we would like to also say that it gives us great pleasure to also confirm that the first company and all its subsidiaries have all received unqualified audit opinions from the Auditor General for the year 2014-15. The next slide, Chairperson, looks at how the group fits into the value chain from upstream, midstream, and downstream. I will not go into this, safe to say that I'd like to maybe give some context to the environment in which the group was operating in this year under review. As we all appreciate, the group operates in a very complex sector, the energy sector, particularly oil and gas. And it's very capital intensive with long lead times. Major projects in this industry are run over a long-term view, a lot of investment in feasibility and execution phases is made. The industry is dominated by multinationals who have a diverse portfolio with an integrated approach covering just about every inch of the value chain. And these are not bound by developmental requirements that a group of us is bound by. What this does is then it allows the multinationals to have multiple sources of income streams, and therefore it provides a natural hedge from a revenue perspective that if one project is not performing, the other projects will perform and carry the organization forward. The drop in the oil price has been severe in this industry, and indeed it has made also an impact in this group, and it's got an impact on the group's bottom line. Chairperson, the operations in this industry are very unique and they require critical skills, and this is what we are faced with on a day-to-day basis. Out there competing with all these players in the space, for these critical skills to come into the group and help us deliver on these complex projects that we work on. Through Petro SA, staff is particularly exposed to the oil and industry. It has not been spread by the global downturn. Coupled by the fact that Petro SA is largely a single source company from an income perspective, the impact has been significant, as you will realize with the presentation and the documentation that's being provided. As a group of companies, we operate in a very challenging sector, and we continue to compete with the multinationals so as to remain commercially viable and at the same time delivering on our developmental goals. And that is the context in which we operate in Chairperson. I think the financial results that we will be sharing with you through the presentation will also indicate the challenges that we have. And I think what is important that will come out of the presentation is if we take this committee into confidence on the key strategic interventions that we are putting in place to in fact make sure that in this volatile environment we preserve and protect the company and secure long-term sustainability going forward. With those words, Chairperson, with your permission, I'd like to hand over to the group CEO to then take the committee to the rest of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Acting Director General, the board members of the various entities in the SEF group, the executive leadership of the SEF group present, members of the media, fellow South Africans. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you the group performance of the SEF group for the 2014-15 financial year. With your permission, Chairperson, I will go through the group performance in detail. During my discussion of the group performance, there's two slides that I'll ask the Chairperson of the Audit Committee of CEF to talk to around the audit issues. And also, at one point, I'll ask my colleague from Petrol SA, Mr. Collison, just to clarify one matter around impairment. But in bulk, the presentation will be done by myself. Thank you very much. Essentially, what I'm going to cover under the CEF group performance, as you said, we cover financial and non-financial information, the audit outcomes. I'll go into detail as to specific of the audit issues that are raised by the Auditor General and how we are addressing them. But most critically, given the performance that we are presenting here today, I would like to also take the opportunity to share with the members of the committee what are we doing as a group to address some of the challenges that we are facing the group at the moment. You will see that I'll move some of the slides which are, I'll review specifically which slides I'm talking about. They're all in the deck. I'll pull them up front so that I can address it up front from a CEF group perspective. If we can just move forward. In summary, the Chairperson, it's all numbers, which I'll go through in detail just now. If you look at it in summary, obviously, we reported a bottom line loss of about 14 billion, which I will explain in detail now, which is largely due to an impairment. We saw a drop in our revenues due to the oil price. Obviously, as a result of that, we've seen the return on equity. But on the positive side, we've seen the group generating a very strong cash from operations, and we saw the margins decline due to, obviously, the oil price that we've spoken about. So that's in summary, and I'll go into detail a little bit later. If you go to the next slide, where we just talk about the highlights for the 2014-15 financial year, as a CEF group, we are quite proud of our safety record. We take safety very seriously in all our operations. In the last financial year, we had no fatality in our operations. We are also a very environmental conscious organization. We have much fewer environmental incidents compared to the previous years. As an example, in 2011-12, we had about 15 incidents. This year, we had less than half of that. Chairperson, we also had to report that through our one of our subsidiaries called iGas, we completed one of the projects, which is the first group to get a new plant from Mozambique. We have gas now flowing from Mozambique to South Africa, additional gas over. We already got an existing pipeline, we just had a loop into that. Also, the third group has now got a comprehensive strategy which was approved by the board, and the intention going forward, you will see itself much more active in the gas sector going forward. I've mentioned the issue of cash flow for the year. Cash flow from our operations was up to 4.4 billion compared to the previous year, and we still have a healthy cash balance of 10 billion in the group. Also, another significant highlight for the year, Chairperson, was the significant drop in our operating costs. We are going to detail that a bit later as well. One of our subsidiaries, the Strategic Role Fund, had a positive year in terms of revenues, with the market moving in its favor. I must mention, Chairperson, honorable members, that in the financial year, we also migrated for an accounting standard from SA GAAP to IFRS, which is an international reporting standard, which is understandable by the international market. Every entity in the group received an unqualified audit report. Also last year, Chairperson and honorable members, we started preparing an integrated report. We have a second one this year. I hope you all got a copy of our integrated report. Our integrated report actually was made into the top 10 of the Nkohi Integrated Reporting Awards last year. Okay. And also positive, I think we are also a group that is conscious about development, and it's pleasing to report that we spent just over 9 billion on BBBE companies in the last financial year. But chairperson, if we go to the next slide, we also have had challenges. As the chairperson was alluding to the fact that we were operating in an environment where the oil price dropped from $110 in July 2014 to what is currently trading around $50. That had a significant impact in our results, as you'll see just now. We also had to revise the value of our assets, hence the impairment which we discussed just now, partly due to that drop in oil price and also the less than satisfactory performance of the project Ikwezi, which we mentioned there. And also, when we later I'll talk about the challenges of the group, one of our key challenges is the long-term options for the Model Bay asset, given the fact that the gas that we had in Model Bay is almost depleted. We also had a challenge closing the deal on the downstream position, which didn't happen. We also have a challenge with the funding of the abandonment liability, which I will explain a little bit later now, because it comes as an old issue as well. Our mining, state mining company, African Exploration, has lower volumes of coal. But on the positive side, Chairperson, the members, we had to report that after year end, we signed a 5-year contract with Eskom with much higher volumes for coal. So that is the challenges in the group. Once I finish the financial, the performance, I will then go into detail on how we as a group are positioned to address these challenges going forward. And one of those, one of our major projects to address, especially the sustainability of Petro SA, is the project called Apollo, which is a turnaround plan which will go into detail upfront. If you go to the next slide, Chairperson and honorable members, we come to what we call our strategic, our performance against objectives. Upfront, if you recall, honorable members, last year, the Auditor General raised some concern around how we measure the performance against information. I'm glad to report that this year the Auditor General had no findings on this key performance areas. If you have an integrated report, the detailed information on these KPIs is on page 54-55 of the integrated report. We've just put in a summary here in the presentation. You will see there that, if I just use this, that on the financial side, you've already mentioned the fact that we managed to contain our costs. We developed a project pipeline, which we need to obviously develop a funding plan for that going forward. From a safety perspective, we met almost all our KPIs. We had a challenge, as I mentioned earlier, around the coal volumes to Eskom, and also with the lower gas reserves, we couldn't meet our production volumes, and also we couldn't implement the downstream acquisition. So that is, in summary, our performance. The detail is available in the integrated report. I'd like to move forward to the financial performance of the group. This is a group consolidated financial statement of the SEF group, which includes this is SEF and all our subsidiaries consolidated. Our numbers, because of Petro SA being a significant subsidiary, our numbers will largely be impacted by what happened at Petro SA. If you look at the group, I'll analyze certain numbers in detail. I'll go into detail around the revenue and the profit, gross profit. I'll also go into detail around operating expenses. I will also address the impairment issue. And also I will address specifically the positive cash from operations. Let's go to revenue. If you look at the revenue for the group, we dropped from about 21 billion to about 18 billion. That is largely due to the drop in the oil price for most of the second half of the year. You will see that there is a corresponding relationship with our margins on this side. You'll also see that between 2013 and 2014, the oil price went up a bit, so you see that our turnover went up, and also our margins in that period. When oil price started dropping, you'll see this drop. In other words, if you go further, Chairperson, honourable members, cost containment is a big priority, not only for the subgroup but in the state in general. You recall that in December 2013, the then Minister of Finance published a Treasury guideline on cost containment. We as a subgroup are fully compliant with that Treasury guideline. And in addition to that, given the fact that we are challenged with sustainability issues in PetroSA, we initiated the project called Billion Plus, with a primary objective of significantly reducing operating costs in our business. This was a highly successful program that achieved over 1 billion savings, which are sustainable in the long term. And most of that relates to our operating costs. Hence, you see a significant drop there. I can give a couple of examples. We've managed to minimize our expenditure on consultants. We've also introduced improvements in the plant in Mossel Bay. One of the things that we managed to do now is the energy efficiency of the plant itself, which is now much more uses much less energy than what it used to use in the past. And you see this huge improvement here from a cost perspective. If you go further, Chairperson, obviously this is a material number in our financial statements, which is called impairment or write-down of our assets. It's figure totaling about 14.4 billion, which that is the makeup of what happened. A portion of it is in Ghana, and basically the other portion is the South African assets in Mossel Bay. Chairperson, honourable members, I must indicate to you that 20% of that impairment relates to the fall in the oil price in the second quarter, in the second half of 2014-2015. 8% of it has to do with the fact that the project that we've been engaged in called the Kwezi, when the project was approved in 2011, we expected to extract commercially gas to the level of 242 billion cubic feet, and we could only realize 25 billion cubic feet of gas on the project. In the market, you see that in the next slide that a couple of other oil companies also had significant impairments, but in their case probably more relating to the oil price than the reserves that actually been realized by the project. At this point, Chairperson, with your permission, I would like my colleague just to elaborate a little bit on this matter from a technical perspective.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Deputy Minister and Honourable Members, Board Members, Executive, and the South African public. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. As the Group CEO has indicated, that 80% of the impairment was due to the non-delivery of the gas to the Mossery assets. In 2011, we took a final investment decision that was aiming at extracting gas from our offshore so that we can have gas for the refinery in Mossel Bay. At the time the decision was taken, having followed the project execution model, and that was also peer-reviewed internally, and executives took the decisions and recommended to the various government structures. What we had also observed was that the nature of the geology of the area we're going to drill was highly complex to the wells we've drilled before. The area we went to drill in is an area we've never drilled it before. The nature of the wells in that area are highly compartmentalized, and they are also tight reservoir, differently from the wells we've been operating in since 1992. This, therefore, was posing a technical challenge in terms of how we execute the project, to be able, how we drill, to be able to recover and get the gas reserve. Upon drilling since 2011, having followed all the processes, we then realized later last year, December 2014, when we first flowed the gas, that the gas from the first well was nowhere close to the volumes we had anticipated during FID. Because at FID, we're using simulations based on the geology and some of the technical data, focusing on the geology, what we would have been the gas that we would recover. Upon executing the project, we then realized that we have not recovered the volumes that we anticipated that we'll recover. And one of the reasons being technically, if you work with a compartmentalized well, and the area which you drill into might be a small portion in terms of the compartment, that you might not be able to access a bigger compartment. And because the wells are tight, the flow of gas between the wells becomes difficult, therefore you will not be able to access the bigger parts in terms of your gas. Even though the geology, if you look at the data, will show you that I have gas, but in the area where it hits the gas, you might not be able to access the other greater parts of the geology, which then resulted in us getting far less gas than what we anticipated because of how tight and how highly compartmentalized the reservoirs are. And this is an area that at Petrol Lake we never seen in before, so this puts this challenge at resulting in us getting furnace gas. At FID, the decision at the time was that we are going to drill 5 wells, and obviously we have also taken a decision that we'll also be reviewing along as we execute as the wells coming online. The first well that came online came in December. We then analyzed the actual data, and the second one came in February. We also analyzed the actual data. Upon updating our reservoir models with the actual data, having now received the gas from the project equation, we then decided not to proceed with all the 5 wells because we realized that the complexity of the wells and the geology was making it difficult for us to access all the gas, and we then only drilled the first 2 wells, and the other 2 we did not drill, and therefore we did not get the gas that we were expecting to get because we had experienced a technical challenge in terms of the geology of the area, and it is an area unfortunately we've never drilled before, and it has caused these technical challenges.
Thank you very much, Court. With your permission, Chairperson, I can continue. Okay. This slide just indicates what happened in the market. I think that if you look at other companies in the same sector globally, there was also a significant impairment in their financials. As the Chairperson was alluding earlier, the advantage that our peers, that they've got a much more diversified portfolio, even though they might be taking an impairment, but you find it on the balance, they can still absorb it. In our case, Petrol is in a single source income business. It had a significant impact. If we just go further just on the financial analysis, another area that I want to Hope is a positive one. From a cash from operations, you see that that improved year on year to 4.4 billion, and our cash balances remained on relatively flat, largely because we fund most of our CapEx from cash from operations. We are self-funding from CapEx perspective. We don't have much debt in the group. That's the cash. I should just go a bit further. I've mentioned the fact that we don't have, but you will see not that with the impairment that there's been a significant decline in the value of it. Just a minute. I think that from a priority perspective going forward, before I go to the audit issues, honorable members and chairperson, if you look at the financial performance of the group, I'm just talking now from a set group perspective, without diverse subsidiaries, what are our priorities going forward? Obviously, the issue that I'll be addressing now, the issue of the funding of the abandonment liability, which is a huge priority for us, and also a very significant and important project in our group is the project Apollo, which is the turnaround strategy for Petro SA. And also having created a project pipeline that we believe will take us forward. We need to develop a funding plan for that. We also did a scope of cost optimization, and also we believe that OneServe, which seeks to streamline the group from systems, cost of certain people, governance perspective, is also important to bring the group into a much more efficient way going forward. So those are the priorities for the group from a financial perspective to bring the group into a sustainable path. And, Shepherdson, I would like just to briefly talk about the audit issues. Our audit report is in our integrated report. I would like to zoom into the issue that has been raised by the Auditor General on the face of that report. And on this side, that is an explanation of the issue as it appears on the audit report. We'll have the root causes, and then in the last column is how we as a group are addressing the issue. The first issue, Chairperson and honorable members, is the fact that we have this NIMA legislation, which requires that the abandonment and rehabilitation provision must be fully funded. It came into effect in December 2014, and we currently don't have a fully funded liability for that. I think that is causing partially that issue, the figure of the weakened financial position. We've got very poor trading conditions. But Chairperson, in terms of what we are doing as a group to address this shortfall, we already got 2 billion ring-fenced specifically for this specific abandonment liability, and we are currently looking at various options in terms of how to close this funding gap. In terms of the law, in the NIMA, the way how to fund the liability can be cash, it can be a financial guarantee from a financial institution, it can be a product from an insurance company, which is sufficient to cover the liability. It is important to know that this liability only happens when you actually abandon the site. So for instance, if I'm continuing operating for another 20, 30 years, I don't have a liability to abandon until then. Even when the abandonment happens, let's say in 20 or 30 years' time, the process of abandonment rehabilitation takes at least another 10 years. So that's when the actual VDD actually happens. But in terms of the law, it says that you must have a fully funded or have a financial provision at any given point in time to cover that liability. So we've got a short at the moment, we've got only 2 billion, but we are currently looking at the various instruments to see how we can close it over time. Staff, obviously, the shareholder will work closely with Petro SA to address the shortfall, and also the regulator is working with Petro SA as well. The other issue, Chairperson, is that of tax here. We have, without getting too technical, just for the tax exposure in our Petro SA Ghana investment, which was disclosed as a contingent liability in financial statements. But we are currently working with the National Treasury and SARS to seek clarification of that tax position. If you go to the next slide. The other issues have been highlighted in the Auditor General's report are the one around non-compliance with legislation, which is around mainly around the procurement. And also there's one issue about the BARC member not being a member of the board. In terms of the non-compliance issue, on the positive side is the fact that as a first group, we've just completed a very successful project called Project Genesis, which has strengthened the skills as a holding company. Later in the presentation, I can show you how the staff group is now structured from a people's perspective. And that project, as part of that process, we strengthen procurement as well. And also, if you look at year on year, we have a significant improvement across the group on irregular expenditure, ruthless, and wasteful expenditure. So there is an improvement, but we believe there's a scope for even a bigger improvement around that issue. And also, the Auditor General mentioned the issue of misstatements in the draft financial statement that we submit on the 31st of May versus those that are finally signed off on the 31st of July. Where we have adjustments or changes, it's where we have an element of subjectivity. In the last financial year, where we had to adjust our numbers around the impairment itself and also the abandonment provision. And given the subjectivity involved in these accounts, inherently there would be some change. Just as an example, Chairperson and members of the committee, when you prepare the draft financial statement, say on the 25th of May, the rand dollar exchange rate was probably around 11 rand, and the oil price was different as well to the number that was trading in June. So those numbers inherently would change. But what we are doing as a group to address that going forward is that we will do what I'll call in a much simpler language, like a dry run of financials. We prepare financials at least for 9 months, get them externally reviewed by the AG so that we can avoid any adjustment after May. In terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, if you look on the left hand, that is the group numbers, that's more in the billions. We have here just the first company. You see there's a huge improvement. Last year we had the 1.6 billion, that was the number there, which related largely to the upstream and midstream business. But we remember that we got the attention from the Minister of Finance, hence going forward that is no longer the case now. You see that also a third of the company was in a significant reduction on those measures. With your permission, Chairperson, I'd just like to hand over to the Chairperson of the Audit Committee, Mr. Kajwa, just to talk briefly from an Audit Committee perspective of his assessment of the control environment at staff company and the group of companies. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and best wishes to you and the send it to the Deputy Minister, the members of the committee, and everybody who's attending here in their own positions as they follow each other. Chair, thanks for the opportunity. From the audit committee, Chair, I want to highlight that one should always remember, as you see on our report in the Integrated Report, that an audit committee is an oversight report committee that considers a whole host of issues of governance within the organization that also include control and risk management within the organization. When you look at what we, the information that was submitted to us throughout the year, we meet every quarter, and then we assess whether the control environment of the organization is in a good space or not, and then we look at the risks that are identified in the organizations and decide whether the mitigation within the risks that have been identified are adequate. And the audit committee has then certified itself in terms of the effectiveness of these, in terms of one, the risk management across the group has been adequately addressed. There has been some comments and recommendations that the committee has given to the management, and management has been taking that quite seriously to amend and improve the mitigation as we expect them to do. And then the other area of effectiveness which we're satisfied with was within the control environment or the control, the internal control system that the organization has got. We've got a fully functional audit unit with an appointed chief audit executive that will suffer the space within the internal audit, and that actually handles the internal control system of the organization. So the internal audit function we're quite happy with. And then within the internal function, we generally look at the annual work plan that is submitted to the department, and that is getting reviewed every quarter to make sure that what is being positioned within the program is actually achieved as we go forward. The other thing that's quite important for us is that the committee has to coordinate extensively with the external auditors and the internal auditors and also management, to make sure that we understand that the combined assurance that gets given by the different assurer to the audit committee actually has got some kind of alliance, and then over and above the alliance, that there is no significant exposure where the above items that I talked about, the internal control systems and functions and so on, that could interest you within the business. The other thing is that the report that we've received of significant investigations we've looked at, and we have considered the actions that will actually be implemented, and we are quite satisfied that the progress in that space going forward. The last part within the audit is that management is expected to implement the recommendations, and if they disagree with the recommendations, they need to say why they disagree and how it can be amended better to ensure that the efficiencies are actually improved within the organization. So we're quite satisfied with the responses that management has given. And in following up with the implementation of the recommendations we looked at, and we know that they have actually implemented the recommendations as they were given. Now, the next page, if you look at the team audit findings, that we're highlighting to the committee, and they have been discussed quite a bit at the top. The biggest one is actually the impairment, the 14.5 billion rand impairment that sits there. The CEO has already addressed the actions, and we actually monitoring that project quite closely. And then the unauthorized or irregular and process wasteful expenditure of about 3.3 million rand. We're also looking at that. It's part of those items where there should be condonement that has to be done, but it's followed by some disciplinary measures that are taken by the organization against the Secretary General of the Department of Education, called the organization to ensure that the changes are indeed in place and they're going ahead. And then obviously the next one is around the rehabilitation of 9.3 billion, which the CEO has spoken extensively on, and it's also been covered within the project that follow, which we're keeping a close eye on. And the last one is around the one of the member who's not a director of SEF, and the matter is being directed to the shareholder with the hope that it should be fixed quite soon so that we can have some compliance going forward. Chair, the significant uncertainties they are listed on that very same slide at the bottom. The first one was the fact that the Federal State Commission and additional research into requirements to put close and decommission the reluctant territory that did not redundant exploration wells. We note that the reliable estimate of the cost cannot be made on this particular one, this particular significant uncertainty. But as soon as we get into the point where we will be able to estimate, we will actually specify it as such. The second one is around the February announcement that was given to staff about the possible labor adjustment. It's in compliance with Section 189 of the Labor Regulation Act, which was given to staff. This would may possibly result in headcount adjustment or reduction, if you want to call that, which is part of that billion last project which the CEO was mentioning earlier. So this one has not been, nothing has been implemented on this one yet. It's just Section 189 communication that has been done with employees. And you would have seen also in the media that this was actually picked up by the media, and then it was dealt with from there. And the last one, Chair, from a significant uncertainty that you're looking at is the content liability that the CEO was talking about with regard to the moving of the residents of the Ghana business in terms of governance from Ghana into South Africa, which then brings about some tech competition that we're pushing management to make sure that the engagement with National Treasury and the SARS is speeded up so that we can get some clarity on this and we can move on and get things sorted out as soon as possible. And thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Chairperson, honorable members, it is obviously clear from the performance that I've just gone through that there is some challenges in the group. Before I even allow subsidiaries to go through their reports, I would like to report to the committee from a SEP perspective as a shareholder what are we doing to address these challenges as a group. The presentation that I'm going to go through, despite I'm in effect, I'm going to go to 103 to 105. If you go to the slide, 103 to 105, and then I'm also going to use slide 46, which is about Project Apollo, the strategic turnaround plan for the group. From a SEP perspective, last year we put together what we call our strategic roadmap, which seeks to put us in the right path from executing our mandate and being a financially sustainable entity, which all South Africans can be proud of. So in our strategic roadmap, we have a stabilize, a grow, and a lead phase. In the stabilize phase, we are thinking to ourselves, realizing the challenges that we face in the group, we need to get to a sustainable platform. That includes, among other things, getting the cost structure right, operating as a group in a much more coordinated manner, getting the right project on the table which will sustain us going forward. And then in the growth phase is the investment phase where we implement our projects, and in the lead phase we expect ourselves to be have already implemented our projects and being now the partner of the Department of Energy on a number of issues and fulfilling our mandate. But that's in our strategic roadmap. We have been also due to the market conditions been sort of forced to take some immediate intervention in certain areas. For instance, given the decline in the oil price and the challenges in petrol SA, to initiate some initiatives which I'll elaborate just now on Project Apollo. If you go to the next slide, it talks to the challenges of the SEP group just in one page to say, as we sit here today, what are the challenges that we currently face as a SEP group and how are we proactively address. And for me, this is quite important. We understand that we've got challenges, but I think the most important question is what do you do about it? We've mentioned the fact that the oil price has had a significant impact to the group, especially in Motorway, so in Petrol SA, and the GTL also in project because they're not delivering the gas that we expected. Okay. With project equipment not delivering gas that was expected, the operating lack of the GTL was under pressure. I mentioned the issue around being a single source income. We still have concerns around that there was a state-owned mining company around the volumes. The funding of projects on a weak balance sheet becomes a challenge. That is being obviously exacerbated by the fact that we have a cost structure that also needs to be managed. I've spoken about impairment and the abandonment costs, and also the leadership issues, which I won't go into detail just now. In terms of going forward, if you go to the next slide, it's around our action from a self-group perspective to address the challenges. Obviously, our priority is to conserve cash as much as possible. The alignment across the group is quite important. And our single biggest project in the next 6 months, or probably less than 6 months now, is Project Apollo, which I'll go into detail now, which looks at long-term options for Petrol SA. We believe also that we need to improve our mining state-owned mining company's profitability. And it's pleasing to say that, as I said earlier, that we've got a much long-term contract now. And also we need to strengthening the monitoring and evaluation from a step perspective. We've completed our project genesis as a step holding company. We believe now that we've got the right skills to provide that oversight and monitoring to make sure that our subsidiaries perform in terms of the mandate that we give to our subsidiaries. We're also looking at de-risking the group in terms of investing in projects that are much more at a brownfield level rather than spending more time on development projects. In terms of what Project Apollo, slide 46, in terms of your deck, Project Apollo is a turnaround strategy for Petrol SA. In short, it is a project that seeks to say currently we've got challenges, we've got fixed stock which is almost depleted. We've got challenges around the abandonment liability. What do we need to do to make Petrol SA sustainable and continue to be our national oil company? The project is a joint project which has been approved by both SAP and Petrol SA board. We set up a governance structure to facilitate the ease of decision making. The steering committee is made up of the directors of SAP and the directors of Petrol SA. With an independent team of experts who are working on the project on a full-time basis, reporting to the steering committee of the two, a structure belonging to the two boards. The project will take maximum 6 months. We already started in the middle of it. What is positive is that it's not that we started turning around with Apollo. Last year we had a successful billion plus project which delivered substantial savings to the business. We already started with a sustainability and plan in Petrol SA. So when Project Apollo came, it integrated with existing turnaround work that was already in Petrol SA. This Project Apollo will obviously, apart from giving us long-term options, It also helps to address some of the issues, for instance, around their funding, their abandonment ability. Because if you want a long-term sustainable business, the funding of that liability becomes much more important. We put a lot of pressure on the team to execute this work with speed, because we understand that this is quite an important issue in the group at the moment. Chairperson, I think this will be the last speaker before I go to the subsidiaries. I just want to allow Mr. Kio Mukhaja to elaborate a little bit on Project Apollo, if you allow me. And then I'm basically done with the SAF group presentation. Then we can go to the subsidiaries after that.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Deputy Minister, or Protocol Observer. Just in a nutshell, Chair, really, Project Apollo is about... Apologies, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Chair, essentially, the Project Apollo is really about three things: finding us time, being able to trade out of the difficult period that the organization is in, and in the short to medium, find opportunities to stabilize the organization, and the long term, find a long term sustainable solution for PetroSAF. There is a detailed scope of work that we'll also look into the future operating model of the organization to ensure that as we get out of this difficult period, PetroSAF is strengthened and is able to compete and be commercially viable in the long term. It also looks into, I think, some of the socio-economic impact of an organization like PetroSAF operating in Hawthorne Bay, and how do we ensure that as we go through the various stages of the project, we're also able to be cognizant, I think, of some of those factors. But really it's about turning PetroSAF around and bringing back the organization to the operational excellence.
I have covered basically the group. I think that the major issues in the group I have covered. I hope that in the subsidiaries you're not going to spend we're not going to go into too much detail there. But I think before I head over to the subsidiaries, I think Chairperson, we acknowledge that we do have challenges. The impairment in the last financial year is a significant number. It eroded a lot of value in the group. We've got sustainability challenges at PetroSAF, but we as a group, we look at it from a group perspective, and we believe that as a group, if we put together, we'll be able to overcome most of these challenges going forward. With that, Chairperson, we can just move logically as per the slides are there. I think the next entity is PetroSAF, with your permission.
Yes, and who's presenting from
PetroSAF? I'll give it to the chairperson, interim chairperson of PetroSAF.
mainly about the issues that they address today. There is a data for us where it's not just going about the court. The major issues are coming from our subsidiaries. But I think it is important to, for the benefit of everyone, to indicate that Petrol A operates in a high risk, high return environment. High risk because it is involved in the part of exploration where you look for a potential. The outcome of that session in the exploration is either you hit gold or you hit enemy. The history of Petrol A is that in the past they've done similar things which was done for Ukraine. At the time they were lucky, or we were lucky because we hit areas where there was sufficient gas to flow for us to operate. In the case of Ukraine, it is one of those risk areas where you do all things that you have done in the past, but somehow things don't turn the way that we expect it to do. I think the question, therefore, is to say, did the people who were there do what they were supposed to do? I think that there is a saying which says the hand bash is an exact science. I think if all of us were in their position, it is very, very likely we would have done the same thing, because they were faced with the possibility of saying, in the world that they were operating, they were running dry. Were they supposed to sit and wait for the company to close down? The answer is no. Therefore, it was plausible to take that risk of faith, which was, of course, calculated, because you just didn't go and dig. They just sought the advice and gave some people to do the necessary research to give them some physical data to say, yes, there is gas, we will be able to extract the oil from this area. So I think it was a plausible decision to do, but I think it was just a mishap that when it was done, when sometimes at the end of 2014, when they really attempted to come to the reality, we found that it was not to be. Hence, the decision to stop it and to abandon it and then do the impairment that we have had since. At this stage, I will seek the CEO, with your permission, to take us through the more in-depth details, and the CFO to take us through the financial statement, the financial result of the organization. Thank you.
She's not CEO, she's CEO. I think about
approach
this matter to the date of the date.
Yes,
even this situation does underline the fact that we have major challenges.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairman, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, Board Members, colleagues, and all stakeholders. Chair, I think the group CEO and the two chairmen of both the holding company and the Petrol SA have indeed covered a lot of issues, a lot of concerns. I think I can only credit that the return on investment, particularly on Ukraine, it is truly disappointing as was presented. I can only say that the board, with the support of staff and management, are committed to turn things around, to be open and transparent, and really be committed to the task that's lying ahead of us. It's not an easy task. I think the challenges have been painted, but we can simply say that we believe that we are equal to the task, and we should be able to emerge in a manner that should make South Africans proud. Petrol SA employs about 1,900 people, and we actually are a major player, both from the upstream to the downstream of the business. We explore, as the chairperson has said earlier, we also market and we also refine at the same time. So we are fully present in the entire chain of business, and that our muscle base asset is actually our main asset of the company, and that we actually provide 5% of the national fuel retirement. So we are really a significant player in this business as well. And of course, our operating environment is quite complex and highly capital intensive, and also very much characterized by long time. And obviously, we do have a footprint in South Africa quite heavily, a footprint in Ghana, and also a footprint in Rotterdam. Chair, I think all things said and done, we do have some highlights. For an example, when we realized that we do have serious cash challenges way back in 2014, the Petrol SA board took a decision of saying we are going to have to pay at least $1 billion+. And that's why you have a project called $1 billion+, which is not an easy task, because there is a particular culture in the organization which we now begin to look into ourselves, say, where we say clearly times are no longer the same. And we were able to save $1 billion at the end of the financial year. And we were really humbled by the intervention also from CERT, which were in partnership as far as the project Apollo is concerned. It really begins to ramp up the work that was started by the Petrol SA management and its board. Yes, in addition to that, we were also, if you look at our track record, from 2002 to now, we were able to contribute over $300 million to community projects, both in some areas of the country, but luckily in Motor Bay. So we've really been, and I think I'm portraying an image of an organization that is highly resilient. And of course, we've also been able to achieve a cash profit of $1.2 billion. The challenges, yes, primarily on our desk, is how do we ensure that we emerge from the disappointing performance of Project Equality itself, as the group show has said, of that it has actually to a large extent eroded the value of the company. And obviously, we're looking at how best we can be able to overcome those kind of challenges. The environment as well, as depicted by the auditor general with the issuing of the section 189 for the changes of course, obviously that also be concerned with employees as well, but we believe that we are equal to the task to ensure that we run with this process in a manner that is less destructive as far as possible. And I think on the upside again, Chair, I think it's important to also highlight the fact that with all the challenges that we have, we were quite a significant contributor to keeping the lights on the Eskom with the supply of diesel as well. We were not a disappointing player as far as that is concerned, and I think it's important to also mention that. Going specifically into where we tried our best as far as the corporate plan is concerned, I think it's important to remind ourselves that as a company, we were quite conscious about what is expected of us as a South African corporate citizen. And therefore, our values are quite important, Chair, and our values were well publicized that we believe a lot in stewardship, honesty, integrity, respect, and transparency. And as far as the PPPE level, Chair, we have fared quite well. We're level 2 contributor. We do have a level 2 contributor status. And also, it's important to say that we also did quite well as far as the preferential procurement space is concerned, and this equates to about 103.1% of discretionary spend for the period under review. And as compared to other SOEs, we are actually leading with an overall BBB score rating at 90.65%, and we are followed by Transnet and Eskom exposition respectively. And transformation remains critical in the space in which we play, and obviously have to lead by example as state-owned company. We also have been able to compete quite well with our members in Sapia, which was leading, but we were quite falling through with our 90.5% share. I think if we move to our performance on check, we again recorded a fatality free financial year purchases. And we also achieved a commendable disability and injury free frequency rate. We also maintain a very high standard of medical surveillance, and 87.1% of our staff completed the necessary medical examination for the year as compared to the target of 80. As far as environmental issues are concerned, the incidents reported, we reported 7 of those, and it's also an improvement as compared to the previous financial year. As far as quality is concerned, the SAFDS approved the retention of petrol as an ISO 9001 certification. I think this largely, honorable members, demonstrates our ability to provide product and services that enhance customer protection and regulatory requirements. Chair, I think what is also quite important is to say that we are an oil company at work, an extra oil company at work, and that we truly believe that we are contributing on some of the areas that we are expected to occupy the space. As far as the National Development Plan is concerned, Chairperson, we assist in the realization of the NDP with dedicated focus on gas development, infrastructure development, clean fuels, addition of a new refinery in Tombo, and power generation initiatives. On Operation Pakistan, Chair, as pronounced by the State President of the Republic, we are also assisting in unlocking the potential of South Africa's ocean economy through fully participation in work streams such as offshore exploration, gas infrastructure development, logistics-based services, and local content. We are actually, as we speak, in fact, in conversations with SAMHSA as far as making sure that we expand ourselves on those opportunities in the ocean. And as far as our role on state-owned companies, we participated in Eskom's war room, and we full focus on supply of gas to power generation, importation of liquefied natural gases, and diesel supply to power generation. Sharing in summary, stakeholder management, our achievements are speaking for themselves. Also in the annual report, we actually have achieved our target. As our shared is concerned, we also achieved our target. Transformation, we did very well, and I think part of the challenge is also trying to balance savings of cash that is very limited, and at the same time trying to expand employment, progress, employment security challenges, and that we did very well given the circumstances. Of course, we did not achieve our financial targets, also we did not achieve our sustainability targets, and also as a result of some of the issues that have been mentioned earlier, we also did not achieve our growth targets. Okay, I think before I hand over to the CFO to take us through the financials and the findings of the AG, as far as EQS is concerned, we did manage to make sure that the gas flow from the three wells out of the five that we initially intended. And obviously, I think it has been well articulated by my colleagues here as to what were the challenges, but also to say that the performance of the reservoirs are well below the expected target. As far as the Tombo is concerned, obviously the focus was on securing a funding partner and initiating feasibility studies, and we have continued to make improvements to draft policy and legislation that is intended to ensure that we have an integrated energy plan. And we continue to work very closely as PetroSA with SEF and DOE on this particular project. On LNG, Chairperson and Honourable Members, feasibility study for the long-based terminal in Saldanha was completed. and we are ready to proceed to feed, obviously following all the necessary governance processes with CEP and GOE. On PetroSA Ghana, Chairperson, we did fairly well as well as far as that is concerned. And on Downstream Energy, Chairperson, I think it was a little too early to say we ended up having to terminate our vision as far as entering the downstream is concerned. And in the downstream, Chairperson, obviously that was more based on the requisite funds that had to go with the investment as was intended. Chairperson, at this stage, I will hand over to the CFO, but I also need to make a point, Chairperson, to say we remain a going concern as a company, and we believe that we are committed to make sure that we create a sustainability partnership with CEP to ensure that we proceed to the next level of performance as an organization and obviously contribute to the bigger issue of CEP. Chairperson, I'll hand over to my CFO to take us through the critical areas of the financial and also take us through the critical findings of the AG. Thank you.
Before the ground
or the effect of impairment that we experienced over the period. And that is what caused the devaluation of our overall assets by the 14.5 billion rand. And I think clear from the balance sheet, that's the major message. On our cash flow statement there, the major message from this cash flow statement is that through our efforts of managing working capital and through our efforts of managing business, we generated from operations an amount of 3.5 billion rand compared to the previous year's 2.3 billion rand. So a lot of effort was put into managing our debtors, our stocks, as well as our creditors on an ongoing basis. Of course, we did spend some money on CapEx, 5.7 billion rand on crazy, compared to the previous year's 5.2 billion rand. And at the end of the year, on hand, we had cash to the tune of 4 billion rand compared to the previous year's 5.1 billion rand. We did receive an unqualified audit opinion, as already alluded to by the group CEO. However, the auditors also then pointed out certain issues, certain matters that the read of financial statements should be drawn attention to, so they can also look at all those items. And there are significant uncertainties resulting from the looming account reduction time, which at the end we could not have a specific number for. That was the main item. The tech issue has been highlighted in respect of our acquisition of Federal Ghana, to the tune of 169 million, which is a contingent liability in our book. The material impairment of 14 million, I think that was also a major issue for the auditors. And of course, the funding of the abandonment provision, which at this stage is funded to the tune of 2 billion. There were significant improvements in terms of our purchase and waste expenditure, where last year was 6 million rand, and this year that number has come down to 1.8 million rand. In terms of irregular transactions, sort of a poor PFA, last year was 1.5 million rand transaction, whereas this year that number was 6.9 million rand. Here I will stop here and hand over to the CEO to finalize the key focus areas for the year ahead and beyond.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. Honourable members, I think it's important to also say we have a plan going ahead in terms of creating the sustainability of the company to complement the work of the turnaround strategy by ourselves and staff. And to say that one of those plans going ahead is that we are pursuing our role as far as gas to power with Eskom. We also are all looking into refinery options, and we are, as the company, where we are investigating a number of options, maximizing the future utility of the GTL facility in Mossel Bay. We are also looking into how best we can optimize all other assets that are already there that we have invested in as a company, and also begin to look into what more can be done in our upstream activities, and to examine a number of options for securing additional gas, as we say that we are looking into providing gas to power moving forward. So we actually have a plan in place, the chair. We believe that with all the energy and the support, we should be able to remain out of our current challenges. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We will now talk quite briefly. I'll just ask the members of my team just focus on the substantive issues. I'll ask our state mining company, African Exploration, and then the strategic growth fund. Someone will introduce himself.
Thank you, Chair, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, colleagues. Thank you. Chair, I'll be quick. I'll skip the mandate, because that mandate is still very much up here till today, which emanated from the when it was still DNE before the PDPME and POE. On the highlights, Chair, I'll go to highlight number 4, which looks at the contract with Eskom. On the current year in which we are reporting, we only supplied Eskom with about 700,000 tons. But the new contract which we have signed is a 5-year contract. By year 5, we are looking to supply Eskom with a tune of about 2.5 million tons on the current mine that we are working on. Under the current year, 2014-15, we only supplied coal to Eskom of about 700,000 tons. But with the new contract that we have started, we are starting from 1.32 million tons, this is 2015-16, to about 2.5 million tons in year 5. So a significant increase in volumes. So under the challenges, as I mentioned, that we only supplied Eskom with 700,000 tons, we could not supply the additional 400,000 tons, which was meant for Machupa power station, which we all know that the site was collapsed. So as a result of that, we lost volume that we could have supplied here. Chair, one other challenge for us is to commission other projects. As I just mentioned, that in the current operation, we need to move from 1.5 to 2.5 million tons. So we need capital expenditure to the amount of 180 million rand that we need for us to grow the mine. We also have got a project which we call Kleboti, which is going to produce 1.8 million tons for a period of 27 years. 60% of that volume is an export grade volume, but we can still use that with UNESCO. And for that mine, we require capex of 550 million rand. And then our next project, which is today we can go into sourcing and start the mine immediately. We had enough cash. That mine we call the ship project. We could supply 3.5 million tons to Eskom for over 27 years. And that project required a capex of 2.5 billion. So in total, Chair, we require about 3.26 billion to make sure that these projects get off the ground. And with that, we would be able to supply about 7.8 million tons to Eskom. Well, so we also need another, capex for us to do some early exploration so that we can grow our pipeline in the development process. Chair, as I mentioned, that we can only supply Eskom up to 7.8 million tons. We are ambitious in terms of our growth. We need to make acquisitions. I mean, the market where it is currently, it's a perfect opportunity for us to get into the market and make an acquisition. So we also require funding for us to be taken seriously as a major player in the industry. We have to go and make acquisitions. Chair, lastly, there was a cabinet decision in December 2010 to hive AB from CFDOE into CMR. The major issue with that is that whenever we go to financiers, they always ask us, where is your home? We can't find someone that doesn't have a home. So that creates a problem for us, and we really would like this matter to. I know we've spoken to the DTG, Mr. Macobella, which we think the matter will receive attention. So it's one of the major issues. Chairperson, on these, I'll just go through the ones that we have not achieved. I think they are self-explanatory, Chair. I would like to hand over to the CFO with your permission, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. With regard to our profit and loss, we had a revenue of 235 million, which is a modest increase of 2% from the prior year. We also had a gross profit margin of 33%, which is also a drop of 5% from 38%. In terms of operating expenses, we had a slight increase of 2%. Which is also because of cost containment measures that were put in place. The net profit after tax also has gone down to 13.5 million, In the next class, I will explain the reasons for the drop. Our cash flow statement, cash from operating activities at 15.4 million was also a drop of 77%. We still have capital expenditure with regard to the projects that have been mentioned by the CEO of 54 million, which led to a negative cash flow for this financial year of 20 million. In the previous year, it was a positive cash free cash flow. The cash balance has also dropped by 22% to 21.6 million. The reason for our revenue and expenditure drop, or expenditure has slightly increased. We had that low offtake from Eskom in terms of the volume that we sold, and the income from the royalties that we used to earn, those rights have ended in August 2014. So we end that royalty for 5 months. The cost of sales increased, which led to our gross profit margin being lower. And the reason for that would be the strip ratio that increased, and also the labor cost, the mining and processing costs have also increased in that year. In the operating expenses, we have exploration expenditure. And what was spent was 9 million compared to the 2 million previously. And these are the projects that are still at initial phases, and that cost is not taken into account. Chair explained our cash flow decrease, and that is mainly because of our revenue, and of course increases in our cost of the mining and processing costs. In terms of business development, we had CapEx on key projects at 4 million. We also had investment on key property of 12 million. And we have increased in terms of capital expenditure for mostly those two projects. We still have a positive liquidity ratio, and our return on equity has slightly decreased in 2014, and we have an asset base similarly to the previous year, at the increase of 2%. Thank you, Chair.
I think we're just going to quickly talk about strategic fuel plant. I've got some final Kuta.
Honourable members of the Personal Committee on Energy, and officials from the fellow staff, good morning. But in great light, I will just quickly give an overview of how we perform financially. And my fellow executives will then go through the numbers on how we performed. My name is Mpano Nkuta, CEO of SF. I'll just go ahead, Chairperson, because we've got
three slides. Able to respond if
any arises. We carry 10.3 million barrels of crude oil, quality that could be utilized within the refining system of the country. Among the challenges which present, pursuing oil pollution control business still presents a challenge to the business. It's a high capital intensive business, and you only wait until an accident happens where you can recover the money. In 2012, Shepperton, we spent over R1 billion for the NPP line fuel. Before that, the money had been sitting in the bank earning interest. Currently, the cash is not earning any work capital on the line fuel. It presents a challenge for a group very cash starved. Certain terms of non financial indicators as agreed upon between SFF and the board, the buy-in from the Clean Energy as well. Out of the targets that we set ourselves, we achieved 91% of those targets. I'm going to go through the ones that we did not achieve. The first one, as I said earlier on, is the Midland Tank Farm that we are supposed to inspect by end of the financial year. We did not. I'm glad to say, Chaplin, that the project is underway. It is due for commission by mid-2016. We did not achieve the disciplined injury frequency rate. We also, as I've mentioned, the target of earning a return on NPP that was not achieved. Chaplin, we always strive not to spend money where we do not spend it. But you, as you see in the financials, we managed to reduce our product investment expenditure. But even though we tried to reduce them, the target is still, so we did not achieve that target. I'm going to ask with your permission, Chairperson, that we allow our team to sit through the financials for a year.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, and the members. I will be presenting the financial performance of SFM. In the pack on page 91 is the financial summary, which is made up of the financial performance and also some aspects of the financial position. As reflected on the pack, from 2013, the revenues, in fact, from 2010, but it only reflected from 2013 in the past, our revenues have been declining purely because of the market structure in which we found it. The oil price, when it's at its high, it is of benefit to PetroSA, however, for SFF, it has a negative impact. As we store crude oil for the oil traders, so if oil prices are high, they do not buy crude oil to store in our facilities. So we had a trend of events or a change in last year where the oil price had fallen to the lows of $37 after the 1st of March this year. With that happening, we managed to more than double actually the revenue of 2013-14 vis-a-vis the revenue of 2014-15 financial year. If we look at our operating expenses, the operating expenses might give a misleading picture. Owing to the fact that, as the group CEO mentioned earlier on, the basis of accounting for the group changed. We changed from the South African GAAP to the South African Generally Accepted Accounting Practice to International Financial Reporting Standards. With that, it's time with revaluing our assets. We had to relook at the value of the tanks in South Ghana from a book value of 41 million rand that we had in the 2014 financial year, and it was independently revalued upward to a tune of 1.3 billion. So in a scenario like that, where we had an asset that we were depreciating its book value at 41 million rand, and when we are depreciating it at billions of rand, we have a higher depreciation rate that is sitting in that OPEX in the 2014-15 financial year compared to the 2013-14. Also, because we are in a growing phase as SFF, we took a decision to increase the provision on the data that we've been carrying. So those two amounts of an increase in the provision for data and also the increase in the depreciation values, it hiked our OPEX 2013 financial year. As a consequence of those increased OPEX, we landed on an operating profit level at 87 million rand loss. However, if we do adjust it out of the data and we look at headline earnings, we were sitting at a profit of 81 million rand. We also earned interest on our cash balances of about 99 million rand. However, it is reflected in the tax, it is reflected as 90 million rand, owing to the accrual basis of accounting, as we charge to it a notional interest on the abandonment provision. Hence, if you think it is at 90 million rand. Looking at our liquidity, as alluded to, we had a tale of good fortune in the financial year. We doubled our liquidity ratio, meaning that our ability, the norm of a liquidity ratio is that you must have two assets for every one rand that you own. With us, we've got 31 assets for every one rand we own. So, which is totally a robust financial position that we're in. Also, in the previous financial year, we managed to receive out of our operation an amount of 72 million rand. What is reflected in the capex of also equal amounts within twofold. 60 million rand is what we've invested on a long-term basis. It is cash retaken. Because we're generating cash on a monthly basis, we have cash in a cash flow position. We took it and invested on a long-term basis, and as such, it moves out of our cash balances. It's reflected as a capex. 12 million rand was used into refurbishment of our operations. We ended, if you look at the 3 years, this is the only year where we had a free cash flow of 67 million rand. We closed on the 31st of March with 1.8 billion. But like I said, we had also had the DTN data that is sitting. So 3 months later, and as of now, we have breached the 2 billion rand mark, which is quite important in a business of storage, where we're able to accumulate as much cash as we could. Because when the market turns into liquidation, we tend to rely more on the interest earnings of that cash balance. I'm going to run through this slide, or the following slide is almost repeating what I said on the previous slide. Same as the following, the trends that are reflected there, it's just a repetition. Same as the cash flow and the balance sheet is already what I've touched on. Suffice to explain that starting on the cash flow statement, you see my cash at the end of the year is reflected at 737 million. That seeks to explain the change in the IFRS treatment of the long-term investment. Post 3 months cash that you hold or investment, it is classified as a financial asset. But any amount below 3 months investment term, it is classified as cash. So if you see the cash of 737 million vis-a-vis the cash asset is 1.8 billion, you must recognize that the 1.8 billion is including the long-term investments, which are financial assets. The 737 million is cash that we hold in a less than 3 months investment term. Balance sheet, as I indicated before, we are in a robust situation. Key audit funding, the regular expenditure, I'm going to touch much on it. Suffice to say that every company from 2013 financial year, we unfortunately doubled our irregular expenditure to 8 million rand. However, in the financial period that we report from, we significantly put in measures that reduced it to below 5% of that. So from an 8 million rand irregular expenditure, we're sitting at 380,000 irregular expenditure, which was only incurred in the first 3 months, we're still putting the measures in place. I think that's the long and short of it. Thank you.
That's what we're going to go to. There's two entities, IGES and PASA. Dr. Pontes.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. Honourable Minister, honourable members, colleagues, and South African citizens, everyone else, I'd like to just very quickly go through what EDES does, what our financials are, what our aims. On the first slide, you can read that in your time, but our mandate is to act as the official state agency for the development of hydrocarbon industry in Southern Africa. And at the time, I thought it was forward-thinking, although hard. We may, from time to time, certainly in accordance with some business principles, enter into joint ventures, and we should not rely on state funding, other than said, and this is the way we behave in our work today. The next slide shows the highlights. And the highlight in particular in the last year is working with our joint venture parties, Sasol and CMG in Mozambique, to finish a dubbing up of the pipeline. We've got 128 kilometers of that in Mozambique, and that allows for further gas to come to Rosana Garcia, and is in fact at the moment powering 175 megawatt power station on the border of South Africa and supplying Mozambique and Maputo with gas. Another highlight is together with the SEP group, we've managed to work on the SEP group master plan. We've repaid our bankers, our final repayment was in July, so our commercial bankers have been repaid, and we're starting to repay our shareholder loans, of which we of course pretty proud. We're reviewing options for gas transmission pipelines in the country. Challenges, of course, there's one minor challenge, but that's already gone by. We were refinancing together with our partners, the whole of Romco. That financial close is expected in the next month. So that now is a significant advantage to us. Infrastructure development within the country and within Southern Africa, of course, depends upon one thing, the availability of gas resources. Key performance, I will leave that for the members to read. I don't think there's anything to highlight. Financial summary, I will give you an overview of this, but please note the way to read it, the cash balances, just so we're clear. 2015 is 199 million, 2014 197 million, and 2013 155 million. Just so you can read that clearly. Our dividend has been increasing in the next slide. Let's go to that. The dividend has been increasing in the number of years because of our improvements on the Rompo pipeline. We have managed to hold our cost base down, but owing to the number of work that we are getting in the next couple of years, we have to strengthen ES, and we'll see that later on. Importantly, I think this sums up the business. Our total assets in the last year are up by 692 million. Net assets is at 2.15 billion rand. We are fortunate to have a high liquidity ratio. Our return on equity is low, but that's part of the business. This is low risk, low return, or medium return, but it enables infrastructure to be built in the country. Cash on hand at the moment is 100. The way forward for EGS, important issues here is to start planning for a number of indigenous gas resources coming to bear and making sure the infrastructure is ready for that, namely coal and methane, possibly in the future shale gas. Clearly, our interaction with our neighbouring countries and infrastructure related to that, Mozambique, Botswana, and maybe the future Zimbabwe, we need to start planning immediately for that. We're of course working with SEP Group in looking at the gas infrastructure, energy import. In activities with joint commercial partners, we always strive to make this happen because it puts less strain on our balance sheet. It introduces commercial parties into the interactions and allows for a faster infrastructure growth. In all of this, we will be increasing the permanent staffing of EGAS. I want to thank you, Chair.
With your permission, Chairperson, the last one is the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, PASFA. I'll turn over to Lindy.
Thank you, Honorable Day, Honorable Members of the Petroleum Committee, Deputy Minister, CEOs, members of the board. I'm Lindwe Mikwe from Petroleum Agency. I'm not alone. I've got the support and backup of the chairperson, which is Petra Susi, and also Mrs. Olivia Mans, who actually is touching on the financial matters of PASA. So on page one of our presentation from PASA, it actually gives the strategic role of Petroleum Agency, the mandate, and also the purpose, which remains the same. I'll move to page two. Next slide. Honorable Chair, in terms of the highlight on petroleum agency, what we have actually received in the previous 3 years, we have actually received a clean audit report, audit opinion from the Auditor General. We have also managed to table the extended continental shelf project team at the United Nations. And then this particular project seeks to actually extend our exclusive economic zone from the 200 nautical miles up until the areas that we have actually provided to the UN so that they can actually consider that. So basically, the area that we are actually claiming and that we have actually put forward before the United Nations Subcommittee is an area of approximately 1. Something square kilometers. And then the next highlight, we have actually participated in drafting the technical regulations that seek to regulate all the exploration and production that involves the hydraulic fracturing and any other mechanism or method or technique that is in the base of the oil and gas area. And then the second one, what we have actually seen in the previous year and even this financial year, we have actually seen the ever deep water wells that was attempted by the DNR and HOTA. Unfortunately, they encountered mechanical problems during the drilling of that particular well, but they will actually resume in the next financial year after they have actually attended to the technical issues that they encountered during the drilling operation. The other highlight that I also want to mention is the upstream training class. We do, as petroleum agencies, administer this particular training class that was actually established by the then Minister of Minerals and Energy, and then the administration of this particular trust is actually done by the petroleum agency, and this particular trust seeks to provide financial assistance to all historical disadvantaged, most of the historical disadvantaged students that want to pursue the science and the science subject, and also provide a fund to the projects that are actually relating to the science project. And with respect to the challenges, yes, Chair, this remains a challenge in terms of the flight, but it actually remains a threat to us. Funding, in terms of the funding of the agency, we have a lifetime up until 2016. From 2017 and 18, petroleum agency assistance will not be funded from any source if this particular matter is not actually attended by the authorities. So we are actually in our last financial year, meaning next year, we will actually only have funds that are actually in the reserve that will actually take us up until 2017. So after 2017, we won't have any funds to run the petroleum agency, won't have any funds to even pay the salaries. Then the second challenge that we also have is the funding of the extended continental trade. As a, currently, we are actually running a shortfall of $2 million, and then in order for us to actually get this particular claim that we have actually tabled at the United Nations, we will unfortunately not be able to complete this particular project due to the fact that we won't have enough funds to complete that particular project. And then, with respect to performance that is actually done by petroleum agency, under the regulatory functions, we regulate the upstream petroleum industry to ensure equitable and sustainable development of the upstream. And then in terms of this particular performance, we in this particular year and even the previous year, we have actually exceeded the expectation. And then the next indicator is contribution to South Africa's security of energy supply through the evaluation of petroleum resources, and that particular objective we have actually exceeded our plans in terms of what we've actually agreed with our board. And then ensuring access and well managed geotechnical data, we have done that exceedingly. And then in relation to contributing to the formulation of the petroleum regulatory framework, that we are actually busy doing whenever there's a need for us to contribute to whatever regulatory framework that needs our attention. And managing the transitional period, that actually comes as a result of the provision that is actually contained in the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, that wish to dissolve the petroleum agency. So as a result of this particular provision that is actually in the MPRDA, we are trying by all means to make sure that we attend to make that document resolved so that we can actually, when time comes for us, we actually transition to another thing. And then efficient management of finances, we have done that as expected and efficiently. And then ensuring the next slide, please. So basically I've covered this particular slide in the summary in the previous slide. And now I will actually hand over to the CFO to take us through the financials.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail around this. At the revenue level, over the last few financial years, you can see our revenue is declining. This is a result of the fact that our royalties that we used to receive are now paid over to the fiscus. There's a declining interest in our data as a result of the drop in the crude oil price, as well as the drop in the exploration interest that we would receive as a result of the delays in the finalization of the shale gas regulations that took place during the year. On an operating expense level, over the last 3 years, we've managed our expenses incredibly well, and there's been a very small increase in expenditure over the years. Our major challenge, as already alluded to by my acting CEO, is that we are utilizing our cash reserves to fund operations. We have sufficient reserves to July 2017. We have received a clean audit award from the Auditor General for this financial year and the last financial year, but that we will be unlikely to achieve in the new financial year, because without funding going forward, we will have a going concern issue with this entity from July 2016 when the auditor signs off our next audit report. So those are our major challenges around that. On the frequency and irregular expenditure over the past three financial years, the agencies have totaled about 300,000 rand worth of irregular and frequency wasteful expenditure, and we have put in place methods to sort out and ensure that they don't incur, honestly incur again. Thank you.
In conclusion, Honourable Chair, what we will remain doing in this particular period is the lifespan that we have. We will continue to regulate the upstream petroleum industry to ensure equitable and sustainable development of upstream resources. We will also contribute to South Africa's energy supply through the evaluation of petroleum resources and the preparation of an inventory to attract upstream investment. We will also ensure accessible and well-managed technical petroleum information for South Africa. And then we will also evaluate the shale gas development and contribute to the formulation of petroleum regulatory framework and continue to participate in the operation Tajika project and manage the transition period, and then also do as much as we can in terms of sustaining BASA for the remaining period.
Conclude.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. We've come to the end of the subsidiary presentations. Just in closing, as I've said earlier, that I summarize the challenges in the group, which are quite significant. We acknowledge that, and we have a plan in place to address them. In summary, that's basically our initiatives, which we are focusing on in the current financial year. Obviously, cash is king. We're having cash, containing our costs. Throwing our weight behind projects Apollo, the turnaround strategy, and making sure that it delivers as soon as possible. And also at home itself, we're also building our clean energy portfolio in support of the Department of Energy from diversifying our energy sources in the future. We've made, from a board perspective, approved significant investments which we will be executing in this year and the years coming. And also we'll continue to drive one step to bring the streamline the group, to bring efficiencies, look at our governance model to see how best can structure governance in the group. As we've done Project Genesis, capacitating the holding company We're also looking at strengthening the schools also as our subsidiaries as well. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members.
Crazy, and then So another 3 wells would have been still drilled to get the 5 wells. Or is the one part of the 3 wells, the first one that was built, part of this Operation Ikwezi? I need to find that out because it's quite important. And then I also see that was on that what I said. I would like some clarity on them. Then we talk about the gas Lubai, and we hear it's a big success. We have a gas Lubai, and I hear CEF, PetroSA, IGAS, they're all not claiming victory, but they're all talking about this major breakthrough and that they're achieved. Now, can somebody explain to me the gas loop line that we have built? We have now gas coming from Mozambique, and because they have plenty of gas out there. So why don't we just run that into Mosgas and, you know, and refine fuel up? If government has this line, you know, why don't we do that? I think it's because, I mean, that fuel that is coming from Mozambique is going to Sasol, I think, at the moment, and they are producing fuel from it. And I don't think that government has part of that fuel. I don't think that, unless there's some more fuel lines coming down, which also goes to Secunda and everywhere else, it seems like everybody's talking about fuel lines, so it sounds like there's all this fuel coming down, this gas, and it's not coming down. It's otherwise it would have been the solution. I mean, we said that we would like some power stations being built on this fuel line, the gas line as well, because, I mean, it's easier to transport electricity than what it is to transport gas. But I mean, please explain to me how this fuel line is servicing everybody, and how this is such a major success story that we are having. And obviously we have Mozambique are our friends. I mean, we have good relations with them, so why are they not giving us more fuel if we are needing? Why do we have to spend 14 billion rand to drill in the sea? If it's all there in Mozambique and they can give it to us, or we can buy it from them, why are we that would be a waste of money, because they would have already found it. We wouldn't have had to have this big exploration which was bought in the end. We don't need it, because we have this gas in Mozambique. So why is it not coming down, and why are we not talking to them? Then another thing is on the wells that were drilled. I asked the question yesterday. I said that, you know, if you have a company and you make certain, it's a high risk, high profit business, and unfortunately now with a downturn in the oil price and the downgrading, we lost now this money. But it would be a little bit, if I didn't ask you, is, you know, you say you took advice. From who did you take advice? Who was the advisors that advised you? You know, what were their qualifications to advise you? Where did they come from? I would like to know. And then, who do we hold accountable for this? I mean, you can't just lose 14 billion and we just go on with that. I mean, we could have used that 14 billion for a lot of other reasons that we now have, or 20 billion that we still need for the... I mean, to get the picture, I'm sure we need the money for better things in Africa that are much needed. And we need to ask the questions that, was the interference? Did you make good, solid decisions you can back up with scientific evidence? That's what we want to know. And then where was the Department of Energy during all this? Were they assisting you in making the decisions? Or were they not allowed to assist you? Or did you make this decision on your own? And then where was the accounting authority at the time? And what was the role of Dr. Sanki Mahanjera in Mahanjera in this whole debacle? And then the board and the management of SIF. Where were you to advise PetroSA? Didn't you have special expertise you could offer them so that they did not make a decision like this without the necessary assurances? Or, I mean, you get insurance for a lot of things, even if the hail hits your crop, you know,
you get insurance for it. So why didn't they have insurance on it? Isn't there no insurance for drilling or taking fat chances like this? And then we have a lot of issues today on the menu. And then I want to ask about the Mthombo refineries. And Mthombo is another enterprise Petro SA was to embark on. Now, yesterday we heard that the department is saying there's a shortage of fuel, the capacity to produce fuel in South Africa. We heard that yesterday from the department, but and they use as a backup that we import 62 billion liters of fuel into the country, and that's why there must be a shortage of fuel capacity in South Africa, and that's why we need to build Mthombo. Now, when we speak to the Refiners Association of South Africa, they tell us, look, fuel is cheaper to import, but it comes at a price. We will forego some of our own ability sooner, and we are talking about job creation in South Africa, localizing everything, and we are not supporting proud South African companies. Why are we doing that? Why are we allowing people to import fuel if that would cause jobs in South Africa? Why do we not just support the companies that are working very well? We heard that Cecil, and we went there on oversight as a committee. They are working so well that they could contribute 45 billion rand to the fiscus in the form of tax. They are the biggest taxpayer in South Africa. Now, that seems like a company I support. I wouldn't try to undercut or underscore. You know, they were so good that they will see the electricity problem. They built it the electricity generating plant to help South Africa, to supply electricity to South Africa. That's how good they were. And they even foresee that we were going to have load shedding, so they started making candles because they saw South Africa was going to need more candles. I mean, and now they are making all this money out of it. That's very good. I mean, this is the vision you should have. And we should support South African companies like this. And that's, say again. I know, but there's so many of these questions today. Then there is the application cost of the wells. Why haven't we planned for it? We must have foreseen it. I mean, we made money out of the pipeline. We should have put some of the profits apart for it. That's the way it usually works. And now you say, well, you know, we are cut short with 4 or 5 years. And now we all of a sudden don't have the money to rehabilitate the mine. We must find it somewhere. Why didn't we plan for this to happen? I mean, we should have put money alongside for it, for the eventuality. That's what people do when they do mines. Then I want to go over to the other companies, which would be the mining company. On page 5 of the auditor's report, it talks about 280 on this document that we have, on page 5 of the report. It talks about how you got your targets, but they can't ascertain if those figures are useful. And they can also not find that it's not useful. So you can tell them anything, and if they can't find that they are not useful, then they say, but they do identify some material findings of usefulness and reliability, and they put the report, and when you read the report, you see all these nigh bound amounts, and you the techniques don't usually work around announcing. It looks like there are some up, and I think that's maybe what they are looking at. And then talk about the expenditure of expenditure management, and the accounting authority did not take reasonable steps to prevent irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditures as required by the PFMA. That is very worrisome. And then the non-compliance with laws and regulations could have been avoided had the accounting authority implemented effective controls over monitoring of compliance with laws and regulations. Now please tell me, who is this accounting authority that needs to do all this work? Because that man is in deep trouble. He's mentioned in all these reports, the accounting authority, but he doesn't have a name. But I need a name for this accounting authority. Because I need to ask him, why is he mentioned in all the reports? You know, so please help me with that. And in this part of concern, the one that we have asked. Order the scale of reports. That's what we are handling. dealing with the annual financial statement, and the Auditor General gives a report of each company in this volume. And in most of these companies, he talks about the accounting authority did not take reasonable steps to prevent irregular and fruitless electoral expenditure as required, and then the non-compliance laws and regulations could have been avoided had the accounting authority implemented effective controls over monitoring. Now, I want to know, who is this accounting authority? That's the question. And then there was the last one, and it was on PASA, and it is very worrisome that they are saying that their income is 30 million rand. They are spending about 90 million rand a year, and they are actually bankrupt. So what are we going to do about that? I mean, the one company loses a lot of money, some are begging for money, and other people need money to do their work, and this doesn't seem to be good management here. What is he doing to control all this? And the department, what is your job doing? I would like to know that. This seems very gloomy. Thank you very much.
Hello, Fandana. This item is called questions. That item is called questions and clarity seeking, not member statement. Then you can make suggestions about how to fix the problems. Honorable on the front.
Thanks, Chair. I'll be very brief. I'll be like this, honorable. Thank you for me. Let me welcome the report by the Central Energy Fund. Before I allude to the report, Chair, I wish to bring to your attention that sitting arrangements in our quality meetings, they become very important. We can have members of the media sitting amongst us here, as if they are from the department or entities. They must have an allocated space specifically for them, which is at a bed like this, certainly from the media. We become very much uncomfortable, can't even take us next to them. So that's what we are just.
Can we do that
right
now? Okay, continue on
our own. Thank you, Chairperson. The report from the Central Energy Fund alludes to some of the issues which we interacted with in the past 2 days of our meetings. The report of the Auditor General states that drivers of internal control at SERF are not satisfactory in terms of the Asia. The AG's report alludes to the fact that the IT governance and IT system control are a cause for concern. How are you hoping to resolve that as a company? This is what was presented to us by AG 2 days ago. Chair, I think the committee, we must be firm around PetroSA and take decisive decisions. PetroSA is a national key point. Now, among many responsibilities that we have, other than oversight, is to safeguard those key points. the employment and other things that Petra is a chairperson, they have become worse than ever. Now, it would be proper for us as a committee to take a stance that begins to say a forensic investigation must be commissioned there with immediate effect. Other than asking for HSA to come to our committee and talk and talk and talk and talk with no results. I was listening to the chairperson or agent chair of HSA justifying the impairment, and impairment can never be justified, can never be acceptable. Because the AG made a point to say those are irregular expenditures. Now, you can't sit here and justify an irregular expenditure of 14.5 billion. Not acceptable. And through a proper research prior to the project itself, I believe that this would have been avoided or picked up through research before the project itself. The flow of staff in one of our meetings recommended that PASA be designated as an upstream petroleum regulator and housed under DOE because they believe that it's the most appropriate location for PASA. Now, I don't know whether you want DOE Abambi Lashina. The report which was just presented here by PASA, yes, what falls, reality dropping steadily. And even tell us that likely they won't achieve a clean audit. Really? You come to our committee and tell us that stuff because it's not sensitive to say the likelihood is that we might not achieve clean audit. What's that? That's the presentation that was done by the lady sitting next to Mrs. It means then, therefore, that it will be a man-made kind of an arrangement. If you are able to make a prognosis now that you won't achieve clean audit, I mean, it is so much to be desired, Chairperson. It is so much to be desired. Now, we can't have people who are strategically deployed or employed in companies with skills and everything else come to our committee and tell us that this AG will come, we have achieved this in the past financial years, the coming year we won't achieve it. Can't be acceptable. So, with the challenges that we have in the state-owned companies, what came to my mind was that there is a deliberate sabotage going on somewhere, somehow. And we must find out and make it a point that there's proper investigation, forensic investigation, probably not a pressure FA only. We can't be a state that has entities that are not functioning at all. The report of the AG, alludes to the fact that PSA requires a fully funded rehabilitation liability within the next 12 months from the year end. Is this achievable? In line with NEMA, is this achievable? We we acknowledge all the positives in terms of the person which you have presented to the meeting, and we can't focus on those because they are deliverables of the company. Now our interest and our focus will definitely be on the negatives. Project Apollo is not specific in terms of some of the entities. It only focuses on Petro SA. And here is Pastor now reporting something else. You know? And other than in your presentation, you would be able to tell us about the CEO of Central Fuel Fund. But the last time I checked, that person was missing. He was not known in terms of whereabouts by the very CFO that presented here today, the report. So we need to be taken into confidence about some of these issues. Now, three projects at Special SA, Equals in Pombo, what's this one? Is it Iron or what? What's the balance of forces? Do you still have projects to always go? Are they achievable or not? Please empower us. Because Project Apollo should address all these things if it's a turnaround strategy. Now, with what you presented to us today, I think you'll be able to answer the questions that are put forward in terms of the three projects at Petro SA. Chair, that's my submission on the report, and I have observed also that we still have SRDM. I think that when I come back from research, we'll be done with generations and actually focus on what we want to do. We can't have ACAS. There has to be a serious eradication of ACAS in the entities and the subsidiaries of these entities, the department. This is one thing that we have said consistently as a committee, but it has not been addressed. Probably we must have a conversation chair with DOE on that. We must be yesterday because it did not appear in their report. So that's my submission today. Thank you.
Let me start by appreciating the report. It's not for me, it's not all gloom and doom. I think there are some positives and some improvements in audit report and so on. There are some in the group. The group is healthy, balanced, and I appreciate the acknowledgement by the group, acknowledgement of challenges, acknowledgement of weaknesses. As a group, and coming up, not only acknowledging the failure, but also coming up with corrective measures and turnaround strategies. I appreciate the project Genesis, the project Apollo, and some alternatives. My colleagues have raised the issues of the weaknesses the inconsistencies in terms of chaperone, the Hollywood syndrome that has been mentioned by my colleagues is not ascertained. It needs to be something that needs to be addressed. However, having said that, Honorable Chair, it cannot escape my mind. I hear you, CEO, co-CEO, that you have these alternative turnarounds. However, and all the backgrounds, however, it cannot escape my mind. You are not telling us the accountability. We need to know who is accountable at the end of the day. We cannot have a loss of 40 billion and no one is responsible or accountable for that. Hence, I want to second the proposal by Honorable Mohamed Shala, that an investigation is needed to investigate what happened on the impairment issue. Because it continues, whatever you can do, but it becomes a dust cloud on whatever you do. Actually, it is transparent, who did what, how are we at this particular point. So I support the forensic investigation, Honorable Chair. Thank you so much. Other issues have been raised by my colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, very few of us on the committee are CEOs or accountants or lawyers. So much of what has been said today about financial statements oftentimes got over our head. But let me see if I understand the narrative from what I've heard from Petrograde today. First of all, what I understand is that their liabilities outweigh their assets by about 1.4 billion rand. They have a single source of income, largely. They have a board that is in crisis, is not functioning. There's a record of excessive poor decision making. They have an impairment of about 15 billion rand. They have an operational loss, a loss potentially over 1 billion rand, and they owe 9 billion under the rehabilitation that's required for NEMA. On top of all this, there's perceived to be extensive political interference at Petrograde. So they have declining cash reserves, the declining feedstock that will probably run out by 2017. They have a declining asset base. And they don't have a balance sheet strong enough to actually fund the turnaround strategy. And that's how I understand what I'm hearing today. So to my mind, Petrograde, as much as they can, are going concerned, they are going nowhere very quickly. And I must actually ask, how exactly do they continue to justify their existence? It's almost unheard of to me. Far from being a national oil company, they're just a national disaster. And I'm really wondering about this idea that this you know, the CEO keeps talking about sustainability challenge. It's not a challenge, it's a crisis. It's very much like the energy crisis. It's not a challenge, it's a crisis. So Petrograde is in crisis. So let us not pretend or leave in any assumption today that everything is okay, Petrograde. Everything is not okay. This company is not going to survive. And I'm struggling to see how they're going to make ends meet after getting huge investments from taxpayer or from government. Because from what you can see, CEF doesn't have balance sheets to cover them either. So, Chairman, some of my questions are very much around some of the things in the annual report that we found. One of the notes in the annual report refers specifically to a potential sale of assets from Petrograde. I heard no conversation today around the potential sale of assets. Are we selling assets? What assets are we selling? When will they be sold? How much will we get from these assets? For the Chair, the Minister instituted an investigation long before request for forensic audit in about August into Petrograde and its dismal performance. The Minister said that would take about 6 weeks. Has that investigation now been completed? And when will the findings be made available to this committee and to the public? Chair, I also note, worryingly, that Petrograde is talking about headcount reduction. I won't seem to know how possible this headcount reduction is and how many jobs are on the line. Petrograde has a responsibility to tell us how many people are going to be jobs because of ill management and mismanagement at the organization. Also, Chairman, I'd be very interested to understand, I couldn't find the exact figure in the annual report, but what was the total remuneration for the board and senior management in the last financial year? Can we have the exact figure, please? Chair, also, it's of a smaller issue, which we noted in the media, but an individual, one of the workers of Petrograde fell to his death recently. Could we please get an update on that situation? Obviously, deeply worrying that such occurrences are occurring at their plant. What investigation has been done and what is the outcome of the investigation? I'm sure we and many of the affected people would like to know. Chair, moving on to HIPS, I'm very keen to understand how HIPS plans to cover 4.2 billion deficits at Petroday, considering that they are themselves facing their own turnaround strategy and have in their reports in June this year indicated that they themselves are in a precarious position. Chair, they also mentioned that they have developed a gas strategy. Obviously, we from the DA are deeply welcoming of the gas strategy. We believe there's a strong future for electricity or gas to electricity in this country. And we're glad to see that CEF has moved forward on this. But considering that the apartment has yet to finalise the gump, that is never coming, never really going to see it, I just wonder, what is wise to finalise a gas strategy when they don't even know what the gas determinations and regulations and what the next is going to look like? The department hasn't determined that yet. So I'm just wish to understand how their gas strategy is flexible enough to adapt to any significant changes in the forthcoming dump. And perhaps Seth can also give some of the highlights on what their gas strategy entails, as this is specifically very important to solving our energy crisis in South Africa. Chief Seth has also mentioned that they're going through a cost-cutting exercise and has been quite successful at it. Congratulations. I just want to understand, Chair, how has this been achieved? Will it impact on jobs? And going forward in terms of the continued focus on cost cutting, will there be a reduction in headcount as well as the central energy fund? Finally, Chair, I'd like to just move to the Strategic Fuel Fund. Chair, obviously the Strategic Fuel Fund was discussed in the media in great depth this year in relation to its supposed dual fund with James Street. Perhaps SFF could give us some detail on the details of this, as none of the details around the agreement that was signed with James Street has ever come to light. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson, and honourable members, and fellow South Africans here. I believe we've had quite a sobering report today from HERS on its operations, the challenges it has, the financial difficulties, and I think we've also seen the fact that this, of course, can only be compounded by the fact that we've got so many vacant positions, both at the management level and at the board level. Chairperson, obviously, as a department, among the things that we need to be able to take quite upfront, the issue of board appointments, how they are done, and how they operate is something that has been of major concern for us. And as part of this issue of stabilizing, I thought you would mention it at the beginning that we, DOE actually does have a director general. The director general was in Cape Town before yesterday, but he has had to leave for the Binational Commission, South Africa, DRC. But members will meet him, and I think that's a very important step in terms of trying to stabilize issues in the department and across the subsidiaries. The second aspect, Chairperson, is to say I think honourable member here has referred to the departure of Chairperson Mtembu Mahanyele. Yes. And the other chairperson as well of Petrol SA and others, and this has had a negative impact, obviously. But I think it's deeper than that, unfortunately, in the sense that in quite a few of the subsidiaries, we don't even have the minimum requisite numbers of board members in some cases. And I'm aware that the department, in terms of the oversight, has been working at this issue in terms of trying to get board members to be appointed there. Chairperson, I need to also say that this is also proving to be a challenge, because this is a sector that is highly technical. So among the challenges I think we have had in the past is that if you are to oversee a complex operation which is very technical, and you yourself do not understand that sector, your oversight actually is not oversight. You rubber stamp or whatever, or you pull in the opposite direction. And I think in some of the reports that have come up, for me, at face value, I would imagine that those are some of the challenges, those are some of the reasons that we have the impairments that we have today, because I'm sure if we did not just the superficial investigations, but a forensic, which will look at how was the decision making made, based on what was that decision, what was the scientific proof, what were capabilities and skills, what were the controls and all that, some of those issues will actually come up to show that maybe there was quite a gap between some of the technical people within the organization who probably know this, and the management and board. So those are some of the things that really I believe in the, what is on here, the thing that he actually said. Apollo. Yeah, Apollo. I'm not quite sure how deep it's going to go into some of those areas, because there have been a number of investigations in Petro-SA in the last few years, and I'm not quite sure if they've added any value or they've actually just compounded some of the issues, because if you don't do something in depth, then it becomes a blame game and so on and so forth. So those are real critical issues that we are trying to look at. How do we actually dissect them and deal with them systematically? Honorable Van Dalem also, no. My chair spoke about very serious political interference. Maybe we need to just try and understand where exactly how this was done, because if that has happened, then we need to actually deal with that aspect. As far as I know, in terms of what needs to be happening, PEP has got subsidiaries, and I think this is why they've tried to account for those subsidiaries. If they have challenges on that aspect, I think they need to actually raise them so that they can be dealt with, because the impact on the governance or the accountability issues. Chairperson, I do not want to get into the specifics, because I think the entities will deal with this, but I do want to say that the issues I've highlighted obviously have an impact on all the operations of these entities. If today we sit here and we ask, who is this accounting officer, the auditor general, you probably find in one entity maybe there are five. So where do you actually pinpoint in the final end? So the impact of all these changes in the management, the changes in the board, have been quite serious. And when you have situations like that, it also becomes very easy for mischief to happen. And that's how then you end up with not getting rent for money. So I just wanted to put that up front, and as we deal with some of the specifics, to say this is something obviously we are wanting to really, really get to the bottom of. I thank you, Chair. I shall come back later. I think I have to.
Yes, Minister. Yes, can we respond to all the questions?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members of the honorable members of the portfolio committee. Received quite a number of questions. We'll try as much as we can in the available time to give the answers. I'll deal with the one that has been given from a staff perspective, and then where it relates to an entity, they'll come specifically. But I believe I can talk generally about Apollo. I understand that there is a need for more information on Project Apollo in terms of the detail. As a third group, with PetroSA, we are open to come back to the committee to brief on the specifics of Project Apollo in terms of the options and the process around that project. So that is available. So in terms of the, another significant issue is that of how do we run the abandonment liability. As I mentioned earlier, that we currently got about 2 billion, there's a shortfall. As mentioned earlier, the shortfall does not need to be cash now. I think that there are various ways of making a financial provision. It doesn't have to be cash immediately now. As the CFO of PetroSA was saying earlier, we're looking at various financial instruments, which could be insurance, a financial guarantee from a financial institution that can cover that. So the critical issue here in resolving the abandonment issue is the turnaround strategy. If we can firm up on the long-term options for Mossel Bay, the issue of funding the abandonment liability becomes very much part of that. To say, as part of sustaining the business going forward, how do you then, once we firm up the long-term option that we know that we've got a business that is sustainable in the long term, and then the our ability to fund that with cash or other instrument becomes much more feasible. I'd also like to respond to some of the issues raised by the Auditor General. Just to clarify, the accounting authority is actually the board of a company. That's basically the accounting authority. That's the terminology we use. The statement that you will find in most reports is you will find it in any entity where you will find that there is any fruitless or irregular expenditure. To say that if you have any fruitless on the accounting authority. But if you look at our numbers, I think across entities, you'll see that over the years we've significantly reduced our regular fruitless and wasteful expenditure over time. And as a group, we are working very hard to strengthen the capacity in supply chain to prevent this from happening in the future. But there's been a significant improvement over the years in our regular expenditure. And fruitless expenditure. And the amounts now are, obviously we don't want to have any fruitless expenditure. We don't want to have any regular expenditure as a group. But I'm positive that over time we are significantly reducing the amount. There are the issue of internal controls and IT governance. Those are the findings relating specifically to SEF. Around internal control. Even on that side, if you read the detailed findings of the Auditor General, you see that year on year there is improvement in internal control environment. Last year, obviously, as said, we went through Project Genesis, which was strengthening of the holding company, so there was a couple of movements in the entity, and we did have some challenges, but as of now, we have a fully capacitated staff. From a school perspective in all areas of our business, and the control environment should improve significantly going forward. The potential asset sale, I think I'll give this to... There was also a question on executive remuneration. In the detailed reports, if I can, we've got three books there. there is a third executive report. There you can see the executive remuneration of the staff, executive and the staff directors. If you go to the two other books, if you go to Petro SA financial statements, it is disclosed there. In armor, I can get a quick note. The big tech can find it, the detail. But the detail is there. In terms of the cost cutting, I think I did allude earlier to exactly where we cut costs. I think that first of all, we welcome the finance minister's treasury guidance on cost containment. So areas like consultants and all of that were cut significantly, trying to do more work internally. And also I mentioned the issue around the efficiency of the plant from an energy perspective. And a huge amount of spending came out of our, from a supply chain perspective, how we procure goods and services in the group, making sure that we negotiate much tighter contracts, we make, we get value for money where we can. That's at the staff level, I've covered most of the issues. I think that staff chairperson, with your help, with your permission, I just also like to give Dr. De Pontes an opportunity to respond on some of the guest issues.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will take a couple of issues, but just go to the easy ones first, the pipeline and the loop line. We must remember the economic activity between South Africa and Mozambique is taking the gas in the Kunda to Mani fields, which are in Limkulas, approximately 350 to 400 kilometres north of Maputo, and an 865-kilometre pipeline has been built in 2004 to Secunda. The gas that's in the Kunda to Mani fields then feeds our industrial hub and our commercial hub in Gauteng. What has been happening over the last couple of years is to increase the gas to South Africa. We put in a compressor, and recently it's called a loop line, which is an extra bit of line so you can transport more gas. And that's what we reported on here. A 128-kilometer pipeline that is parallel to the President's pipeline allows you to transport more gas. The issue here, of course, is South Africa is taking a lot of gas from Mozambique. We also need to take cognizance of the Mozambique government's needs to grow the economy. And this is one of the reasons why the extra line was put in, to take gas to Sonographia and allow for electricity generation for the Mozambican economy and what is not used then would come to South Africa. So that's the loop line issue. The gas to Mossel Bay issue, and Mozambique has lots of gas. We do need to consider that. You build pipelines where you are 100% sure that the gas is going to come out of the ground and service your market for the financial possibility of 25 years. So the Pande to Money gas fields are just big enough to do that for the Gauteng market. Unfortunately, they're not of the same size of the Mozambican Rovuma Basin, which is approximately 1,400 kilometers north. Remember, Mozambique is a really long country. So the Rovuma Basin is 1,400 kilometers north of Vilimkulos. So a long distance. So here we get the issue of if one were to build a pipeline, it's money, time, and commerciality. However, we have to take cognizance of the Mozambican government strategy, which is very clear. They will build an LNG terminal. That means taking the gas, liquefying it, putting it in ships, and selling it, because of the nature of the gas, the highest buyers, or the highest commercial players for that gas. And that LNG terminal is commissioned and expected to be built by earliest 2021. So we do need to take note of that. That doesn't mean we should stop interacting with Mozambique. They're a regional entity that we work closely with. So they are friends, is an interesting comment. Remember, we need to grow the regional economy. So yes, we have to work in concert with them. But in quick to answer the question is, can we get gas in some way into Mossel Bay refinery to enable a future? It's a difficult ask when you're talking about the energy content of taking LNG, putting it into a refinery, and then making gasoline and diesel, because that energy is already priced at a gasoline diesel price, so your economics is not always favorable. However, in the last 2 to 3 years, shale gas in America is starting to change that pricing. So there is hope, and I can't say anything firmer than that, that energy may be able to assist the jury's cut on that to provide gas, but maybe not in time. That's the next problem because of development time. And if you work by LNG, you would buy it on the international market to get the best price and the best opportunity. So I think I understand the sentiment very deeply. We have been looking at this, and just very quickly, a pipeline from Rovuma Basin to Richards Bay would cost approximately $6 to $7 billion and take many years. So there are risks there. I think the next question is to answer the gas strategy issue. Yes, because we are deeply involved in gas and have been there for many years as a group in many different ways, we have at least an understanding of how gas feeds the economy. So we have been active in developing within the group what is the best way to tackle these problems. Because we have upstream expertise, which has learned from the issues done. We have midstream expertise. We have downstream capability. We also have the ability to change gas cycles. So there are all the elements that we need to be marshaled and we need to be governed by GUMP, and we will wait for that and incorporate it. But all the skills, all the capabilities are still in the company, so it makes sense to provide us gas strategy. So we were asked to provide certain details on that. The one thing that is almost obvious to us and has been for a number of years is gas to electricity. To that point, the SEC group were very active in the Eskom war room, and in fact provided, together with the other participants, Transnet and Eskom, details on a 10-15-year plan for gas. So I think in summary, that answers all gas issues, I hope.
That is going to become particularly important in the context of everything that we do. We need to return the discussion on this. I think it's you.
Okay, thank you very much, Shoppers. Honorable members, we can return to a discussion on this. Without putting too much detail, I think what we have in mind at the moment is actually using liquid, what we call LNG, to generate some of our problems, but we will come to that conversation. With your permission, Chairperson, I'd like to give you the two chairs just to deal with some of the issues from a board perspective.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. I just wanted to respond to the acting provisions. From a group perspective, it's something that we've been working on very hard with the department, of course, to try and close all the positions. At the moment, we have, on the subsidiary level, all the board positions have been closed. We recently restored the composition of the FSA board, and we are currently looking at, of course, the recent vacancies, including the CEO position at FFF and the CEO position at CEF. Just the front, the update I can give is that the recruitment process is underway, and we're hoping to make an appointment by the end of this calendar year to restore stability at the holding company level. So it is something that is concerning us, and we assist with it to try and restore stability and ensure that the group has got leadership in all the key positions. Thank you.
Yes, can we let the representative respond to all the specific questions?
Yeah, thank you. I will give up the question that I will ask this. I will request my advocates to assist me some of them. But here is two questions. The first one is a question about the forensic investigation. Yes, it has been completed. It is being handled at appropriate level. If the committee would love to have access to it, I think I would request that the board be able to analyze
it.
Should the this committee required to have a look at it, my request would be to say let the board deal with the recommendation and implement the recommendation in a report and analyze it and it is given to the committee. On the question of whether the petrol is a
which recommendations of which report?
Well, the question where Stefan will say if it's the minister commission the forensic report. I think he made the forensic report done by the board for the same. Oh, I thought he meant one for the board. One before that one. On the excessive, how do we classify the sense of petrol stage, is it not close or not? I think in our last time as board members of Petrol SA, we are entrusted with the survival and the continuity of the Petrol SA into infinity. I think our duty is to make sure that no matter what circumstances are there, we must find alternative means of making the company continue. Petrol SA has an asset which has got the capacity, has got technical skills, has got technical know-how of producing a product which is unique. In fact, in our discussion, we understand that the Petrol SA is the third largest asset producing kind of this kind in the world. So, other than the fact that it produces the petrol and other fuel energy, I think it is important to take into account that it is a strategic measure for the country because we must have something that we rely on. We are looking at various options. In our assessment as a board, we find that all the refineries in the country, none of them have its own well or its own oil well or crude oil well. Therefore, we are looking at the potential to say, how can we have long-term sustainable production of oil or of the product from opportunity for this other than the one that is from our own indigenous soil. For the rest, I would like to give it over to our executives to deal with it.
Thank you, Ibrahim Chef, as you chair of the portfolio committee. I think if that is allowed, Honorable Chair, some of the present talks to historical events where the decision was made, why the insurance was not taken at the time, and I would ask the committee to come back with responses on some of those issues of recommendation, such as whether they were advised and what did they advise. I would respond to the question, and yes, like the minister will also assist in some of the technical issues. I would respond to the question about the honourable member that what more around how many people are going to do their job and so on and so on. And we should take that committee a while back in around March when we issued a consultation letter of saying that our consultation there would be a need to downplay staff, and in that, I think our estimation at that time was that maybe it will actually be up to around 40%. However, I would wonder us not to, the figure keeps on changing because as you look at some of the projects, you fund some of the projects, your numbers change, your structure change, and so on, and we are not yet at the stage where we have been able to firm up to say which project will be require so many people, and therefore we don't really have a figure that we can put our head to as we speak at the moment. I think that's probably also what the AG found in the report that was issued in our annual report. And my group will also, as is the VP in operations and therefore in charge of running most of it, on the issue of the fatality, yes, it is a regrettable incident that we have suffered, and the reason why we did not speak to the chair is because it's something that occurred in the current financial year, and we're not sure whether we are allowed to talk to the chair, so there's not really the tradition of information to the committee member. Yes, it is an incident that has happened about 2 weeks ago, and the colleague will give me some dates to that, if that's possible, but only today that it is a report that says
investigation in Mozambique. I need to assure you that we've got multiple investigations that are happening, and I wouldn't want us to run ahead of those investigations. At the time of my visit as the acting CEO, I did find the staff there. They were doing their investigation. Obviously, the Department of Law will also do the investigation, and it will be really a multiple approach investigation. And I did take an opportunity as a responsible employer also to convey our condolences as an employer to the family who were also with us on that particular day. I'll hand over to my VP to speak some of the issues, including the very incident, if there is more questions that we are comfortable to respond to.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it was indeed and it is regrettable that we lost an employee on the 26th of September when he fell working through the plane maintenance in one of our facilities. We currently have an internal investigation on the way. The FAT has abused their investigation. Department of Labor will be initiating theirs. The mine inspector who regulates and gives us the license to operate is investigating. And our report will be made public because there will be public hearing when this is at a complete time. I think it is suffice to say that from the fatality, that it is indeed very, very regrettable that we've lost a husband, a brother, a breadwinner to that incident. If I may move from that unfortunate incident, just I think to clarify one or two issues. In terms of project F equals, we had 5 wells that we had numbered them. It was FO9, FO10, FO11, FO12, FO13. That's the numbers convention. In July last year, we fled. On the 31st of December 2014, we connected one of the wells and we started producing from it. As I'm speaking to you, 3 wells, FO9, FO10, and FO11, we are currently producing from them. FO12 and FO13 are the wells that were suspended, if I'm not sure, just to clarify that question. The other issue, I think, as the CEO has already alluded to, in terms of the technical advice provided, that we provided as part of what the committee has recommended in terms of the investigation. I think those were the technical questions.
Yes,
that was that.
Yeah.
Chairperson, there is one thing that I should have spoken to, which is impacting as well negatively on some of the entities, is the issue of the hazard. I think because this is really an issue of a financial report and all that, they did not actually get into the details of what the discussions have been and where it's at and how the impact is happening. And obviously, it's not something that they have any control over. It's really around the issues of policy, and which is having that impact. On PASA, for example, the one which has really got a regulatory function, from a DOE perspective, we have been arguing that this is an entity that has been built over quite a number of years, and has a massive database information within its ambit, which we are quite concerned about how then that gets managed, because it's actually a very big asset for the state. It's not something that we feel is just a matter of saying, okay, if you move out of here, as in terms of this family, that protects, incubates, and provides all that kind of nurturing, so to say, and you take it out, where do you put it, where you would continue to enable it to carry out this function, but also look at how it gets resourced. Unfortunately, maybe we'll have to ask one of the officials in the department to actually unpack the issue of and in terms of the royalties and the impact that that has had, because I think that's critical for the community to understand. I mean, I don't even want to put figures in terms of the information they have and the assets, because they're quite massive. And it's the kind of thing that can end up just being lost. So we are quite worried about how the hiving off does happens without it losing this ability and that it's managed properly and it's protected. On the mining, state mining company, we have been engaging with the DMR to say, under the SEF group, there's been a very deliberate program and process to say, this is where it's the African exploration is at, and this is where we want it to be in how many years, and what's required in that process. So already SEF would have invested over 200 million in the African exploration, and as I said, with a process for the ramping up. So when you take it out from there, then SEF says, okay, they're taking it, just, you know, give me my investment back. So there's that issue. But also, how do you then make sure that tomorrow we're not the same people who are going to come back and say, they're just a failed entity, because now it will be on standing on its own. Where does it get that growth strategy and investment in it so that it can become a significant player? So those are some of the things that are impacting on those entities. And as I say, the issue of them, if you're looking at investors then are a little hesitant because these things are still not fully resolved at the fund level. So I just thought I wanted to speak to those two. But maybe the issue of the royalties.
We'll take them in a while. I'm happy with the Deputy Minister saying those matters are not fully resolved.
Yeah.
Because I think some of them are simply wrong. So they've got to be at it. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. What happened was when the NPRDA came in and the NPRD Royalty Act came into place, the royalties that we used to collect on production of the agency then were to be paid directly to the fiscus. And then we were at that stage trying to resolve the issues with National Treasury around the funding of the NPRD Act actually makes provision for PASA to be funded from the fiscus. That process became a problem when the amendment bill came into place, which effectively took us out of commission. Luckily, over the years that we did collect production royalties, we built up reserves, and we have been able to fund our operations from those reserves, despite the fact that income we used to receive now goes directly to the state, instead of coming to us as an organization to fund our operations. The ministerial directive that created us through SEC made provision for us to withhold those royalties to deal with the production phases that go. So that is more or less where we sit. We have a provision in an act to fund us as an entity, which is not sufficient in National Treasury's eyes because we are not designated specifically in that act as the agent that will provide the regulatory function. So all of these uncertainties mean that the funding that we currently have will not sustain us another full 2 years. And the reason we would not get a clean audit going forward is because we would have a going concern problem in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that explanation.
Chairperson,
that sounds the case that each minister why we want to attend the discussion.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we've covered most of the questions and some of the issues we might have to come back to the committee as the CEO of PetroSA was alluding to. And one other issue that we might have to have a focused discussion on, obviously on Apollo and obviously options that are gas, of which we as a group will be more than happy to come up with the committee on those specific matters. Thank you very much.
According to your list.
Okay, those questions are on which members feel strong about the follow-up between the other questions asked. So, honorable time.
Sorry, this question was specifically around, as Petra said, was mentioned in the annual report of the detail of sale of assets, which was an address. And second of all, a question to City Appeal Fund on the details between the agreement signed between the SAF and James Street. That was also not discussed. Okay, so I'll ask Petra to respond to that, and then James Street to have a second thing. Your permission, sir.
Apologies, Chair, for not covering that question. Petra SA is not selling any of its assets. In terms of our strategy, rather, it is to leverage our assets to create value for our nation. And we are not in any way intending to privatize. It is our intention that we create value with the assets that have been built, and at this stage, this is our money, and we have no other approval to do any other things.
Okay,
permission, Chairperson, and final.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the honourable members. On the question that relates to an article on meeting guidance of the 10th of July, as reported by Amapongani, on the 9th of July, since we now received a call from an agent called Clark Makula, I hope I'm pronouncing him correctly, on a matter relating to presentation, he told me that it had been done at the tracer. And the content of the presentation, he stated, open quote, James Street said, Eat and Total had formed a JV, partnering with FFS in a major storage transaction at Delta Bay. The venture has imported over 7.2 million barrels of new oil in Q1 2015, with a capacity to do more. Angel Capital Partners and Total have already invested more than $500 million in a venture. Close quote. Chairperson, generally, I would have invoked the confidentiality clause in matters pertaining to commercial agreements that the FFF has with its customers. But lucky enough, that only pertains to agreements that we've got with clients. I can frankly say that FFF does not have any agreements with James Street Capital. Neither does it have a storage agreement with a JV of James DeKemsel and Tulsa. What I'm saying right now is exactly my reply back to Craig unfortunately, he quoted me as having not commented on the article, but this is the status of the situation.
Sure. There's no one on the floor now.
We are not a media tribunal. We are not going to respond to issues of Million Guardian in the committee. Let's not resist this committee to a media tribunal. These things of Million Guardian and whatever, I'm going to bring my article tomorrow, then what are we going to do? Please, it should not happen again. I'm believing. Thank you.
There was a valid question whether this was actually copied the name of the response
that there is no such an argument. There are no further questions.
Down of governance between the board and management. Because you don't think that it's a national oil company that must be strategical position. You think it's a cash cow. So we'll have this problem. I do think that we must return because we must position this company. It's an important company. It must be positioned properly, strengthened, so that it can play the role that it's got to play into the future. With regard to the forensic investigation that is proposed, the committee has agreed that we should ask the shareholders to institute a comprehensive forensic investigation for two reasons. The one reason is that we can't lose 14, 15 billion rand and behave as if nothing has happened. It has got to be accountability for that. That's the one reason. But the second reason is that investigation must help us to understand what happened so that there can be corrective measures so that those mistakes cannot be repeated in the future. So, Deputy Minister is here, so this is what the committee is recommending is that we're not walking away from this impairment as if nothing happens. The next point is that with regard to positioning as a Petrol SA, you know the 3-bit high impact projects, Project Kwezi, Project Mtombo, Project Irene, have all failed. So we've got to do something because from the discussion that we've been having, including yesterday, on the issues of refinery capacity, you can see that something has got to be done there. But we can't do anything because people are designated to do so have no answer. So those three projects are issues that I think we must have a discussion about. Honorable Kandalen was raising issues about the alternative ways of finding gas. So it's an issue that we have now agreed will come back to have a proper discussion around a gas strategy so that we can get a report on the from DOE on the strategy that we're working on. And it's going to be important that we invite other players into the gas industry so that we have a clear understanding of who wants to play what role. So this side by side, so Deputy Minister will be waiting for the gas utilization master plan that we've been talking about. I am quite certain that all of us agree that that's something that's urgent. So on the follow-up discussion, as I said to SA, we have agreed that we need a follow-up discussion to set some of these issues so that we can discuss more in depth the turnaround strategy that Seth spoke about, including some of the issues that the questions that have been raised around what has happened and, in the past, so that we couldn't deal with today. Lastly, something that is related but is not completely confined to the strategic wealth fund. In one of our previous meetings, we agreed that we'll come back, have another discussion, a presentation, so that we can look at the entire petroleum industry value chain, including the issue of strategic stocks. So I think that as we move forward, we're going to have, when the pressure of the report that we must now compile is out of the way, we have to return to that, including the same to the whole question that our steady issues around where to with the nuclear discussion that we have had in the past had not completed too much. So when we are done with the BRRR process, we're going to have to set in motion this discussion so that we can have a follow-up discussion. Because we had agreed
honorable members, that our role is just to be oversight. There are those who must execute. To the extent we can, we will make proposals on how to proceed, because we do want to ensure that we can play an effective oversight role. Not just do routine publicating reports for our agent report and repeat reports that we have received in the past. I don't think any of us would like to play that role here. So, Deputy Minister, we thanks for your presence and spending most of the time in present here. So, I'm sure you hear what we all the time. We hear what the committee views us on these issues, some of which are going to have to be handled by the Department of Energy. And that issue of the capacity of the Department of Energy is going to be important. What you call, I call it strategic, we call it technical, I mean the combination of technical and strategic. Because we can't provide strategic leadership